require the senator from Cole? Have an inquiry without a PA system. And I thought this may be my only chance in my 8-year career here in the Senate to do that.
Oh, no, it happened.
I just want to tell you that you your voice has resonates well, and you presented very nicely here this afternoon. One question, though. This basically is to help with the larger types of fireworks that are fired. Is that correct? Fireworks, is that correct? In other words, this piece of legislation that you brought before us this afternoon will cause the state of Missouri's laws to harmonize with the federal government's laws, is that correct? Working. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Yes, the mics are working again after a few minutes of being down. Does any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator from Cole is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The senator from Cole renews his motion on adoption of the Senate committee substitute. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The substitute is adopted. We are on the order of business of Senate bills. Oh, I'm sorry. And now your perfection motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Whoa. I now move, if there are no other questions, I move that the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 835, as amended by the committee substitute, declared perfected and ordered printed.
Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion on perfection of the bill as amended by the substitute. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is ordered, perfected, and printed. We're on the order of business of Senate bills for perfection. Okay. The senator from the 23rd. I will need guidance from you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will be the order of business of House bills on third reading.
House bills on third reading. House Bill 1104 with Senate committee substitute pending. Senator from St. Francis.
President. Senate bill on the informal calendar.
We shall do so, Senator. Thank you. House Bill 1188. Senator from 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that.
Yeah, they just came up. Senator, the microphones are now working. The microphones are now working.
I thought we were still old timing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Bill 1188 be taken up, read a third time, and finally passed, be taken up before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move for the adoption of the Senate committee amendment. And for the benefit of the body, what this bill does is allows local school districts to allow nurses to administer life-saving asthma-related rescue medications. The way it would work, a prescription would be written to a nurse in that school, so that if an emergency did present itself, that asthma-related medication could be administered in that very critical and life-saving point in time. And with that, Mr. President, I would answer any questions. And the amendment, by the way, simply changes a duplication of a word in the second line of the bill.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from the 10th.
I have the senator from the 15th.
Does the senator yield?
Certainly do.
He yields, you may inquire.
Thanks, Senator. I didn't hear the very beginning of this. Is this something right now that nurses are not? What is the prohibition now, that they can't have the medication because it's a prescription medication?
Correct.
Okay. And this would allow them to keep the store of prescription medications, even though they don't have a doctor that they're working under or a pharmacist on the premises or that.
It would allow that the prescription to be prescribed to the nurse so they could have it in stock in the event that a child presents with a life-threatening asthma attack.
Okay.
Right now, that you'd have to have somebody sort of predetermined path of a child coming there with their prescription and having it there. This would deal with the sort of emergency. And we did this, I think, in 2006 for food allergies. If they get to that same point, that could also be administered in an emergency situation.
Okay, and so this just makes it so you don't have to get a prescription for the individual student.
Correct.
And then the nurse can, okay. Makes sense. Thanks, Senator.
On the motion to adopt the Senate committee amendment. Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion on adoption of the amendment. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The committee amendment is adopted. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now renew my motion that the House Bill 1188 be read a third time and finally passed.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion that the bill be read a third time. Read the bill and call the roll.
House Bill 1188, an act relating to the administration of asthma-related rescue medication by school nurses. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 11th. Senator from Cape. By your vote of 28 aye, 1 no, the bill having achieved a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. House Bill 1179, Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill 1179 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. It is before the body.
Mr. President, I now move that House Bill 1179 be third read and finally passed. This is a piece of legislation that deals with major water users within the Southeast Missouri Regional Water District. And that district consists of Scott, Mississippi, Stoddard, Butler, New Madrid, Penobscot, and Dunklin counties. The district was created by statute chapter 256.643, and it encompasses all the southeast lowlands, groundwater province, and aquifer, which is a great asset to my district by it enables, among other things, a flourishing agriculture industry. And aquifer levels generally rise and fall over the seasons. However, an aquifer may be tapped to an extent that it is unable to recover and replenish itself. And this bill merely seeks protection for our aquifer from a major water user, which is an entity with the capacity to withdraw or divert 100,000 gallons a day.
and withdrawing or diverting water from within the district and conveying that water outside the district when it's shown that it unduly interferes with the reasonable and customary activities of a major water user using the water within the district. With that, Mr. President, I'm open to any inquiries.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from 13th.
To inquire the senator from Stoddard.
The senator from Stoddard yield?
Certainly.
Proceed.
Senator, brief inquiry, but I didn't know things like this still happen. This is a water supply that a consumer redirects water?
Yes. It just strictly deals with the Southeast Missouri Regional Water District and those counties that I mentioned just a few moments ago.
Do you ever see the movie Chisholm with John Wayne?
Which movie?
Chisholm.
Yes, I think I have.
I can't think of the actor. The actor that was the one diverting the water because his ranch was in the middle of the, I guess, path of the water supply for the region, and he would divert the water around it. He was from F Troop, the person that John Wayne was challenging in Chisholm.
I remember.
I'm reading this bill, and I'm just highlighting that it kind of sounds like that movie. And what are you, John Wayne, in this?
I'm the only John Wayne left in this town. No, yeah. He was CW, wasn't he? Wasn't that his name? Am I thinking of the right one?
It was Chisholm. That's which one it was. But I just thought I'd bring a little irony to the issue that you're dealing with. It was a movie made in the time frame of the mid to late 1800s.
Yeah, well, we're just concerned, Senator, that somebody could tap into the aquifer there and either pipe it out or truck it out of the district at the detriment of farmers and agriculture. So that's why they asked that the bill be filed.
I just wanted to bring a little light to the issue by inquiring of you. Bring
certainly,
a little
Senator.
Lightness to it, okay? Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the motion? Senator from the 10th.
To inquire of the senator from Stoddard.
Does the senator yield?
Certainly.
Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. This only affects major water users that are within the district.
That's correct.
Okay. So this doesn't affect anyone outside of the district?
No, it does not.
So this does not affect the city of Troy in any way whatsoever?
Does not impact the city of Troy whatsoever.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Thanks, Senator.
Brickley, Scott, Mississippi, Stoddard, Butler, New Madrid, Penobscot, and Dunklin counties, the food basket of Missouri.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing Senator from Cape?
To inquire the senator from the 10th.
Does the senator from the 10th yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. We could offer an amendment that would require you to deliver all of Troy's water to them. If you so thought, it might be germane to this bill and help out with this understanding of your new representation of Troy.
I think that would be actually a really good idea. Is there any way we could actually deliver the water inside of a big wooden horse?
I am open to that.
Up to the city gates?
Actually, because of our discussions, you know, my brother is an assistant principal at Cape Central, and I asked him to check with the woodshop class.
Yeah.
And to see what the woodshop class at the Career Technology Center over in Cape was building on. And he's going to get back to me, and I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful it's a big wooden horse we could put water in for Troy.
That's excellent. Thank you, Senator. Yeah. Thanks for looking out for me and the people of Troy, Missouri.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're doing it. And you, too, are to be commended for your efforts to look out for the people for Troy.
I'm happy to carry their water.
Thank you, Ms. President.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing that, the senator from Stoddard is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
He renews his motion on third reading and final passage. Read the bill. Call the roll.
House Bill 1179, an act relating to major water users. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
By your vote of 29 ayes, 0 no, the bill having won a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. House Bill 1331, the Senator from Cole, with Senate Committee Substitute.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill 1331, with Senate Committee Substitute, be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. Mr. President, 1331 is the House version of the bill we perfected last week, which is Senate Bill 625, that the body took up, and it contains two pieces. One is the cleanup language for the retirement system so that funds that follow retirees in the state retirement system properly go back and forth based on, irregardless of, I should say, when they were in that specific retirement system. And then it also has a senator from Cape Girardeau's piece in there that clarifies the tiers and actually puts elected officials into a similar tiers up that already exists in the retirement system. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from 13th.
To inquire the senator from Cape.
Does the senator from Cape Girardeau yield?
I yield. Senator, could you share with me what the senator from Cole just said about tiers and everything?
Yeah, sure.
As I'm looking this up, this is where I do my best work, sitting here and pulling it up and reading it.
Well, you actually read it.
This is a bill we already passed. I'm sorry.
I commend you. You actually read.
I do, but
I wish more of us would do that.
Ones that we're going to bring it up. I don't have a problem. I believe you passed this already this year.
We have. This will be
give an explanation real quick.
Right. This will be the third time. Two different components. The senator from Cole, I'm wanting to say in January or early February, perfected his bill and sent it over. This is dealing with transfer of employees in and out of Mosier's and MoDOT's retirement system, Emperor's. Basically, the easiest way to think about it is let the money follow the employee, so whenever the employee retires, that system has the money. That's what the senator from Cole, and this is what Representative Caleb Jones's bill does. That's already passed. Now we've got the House version here. The second part is a bill that I sponsored. We had debate on the floor. It basically sought originally to fold all of Mosier's retirement systems, judicial, General Assembly members, and statewide office holders on a going forward basis into the, and this is the only term I have for it, regular state worker pension system. After debate on the floor, we peeled out the judicial pension, so the judiciary would keep its own pension system, but we would fold in members of the General Assembly and statewide officials into the quote-unquote regular state worker pension system. And then we perfected that bill and sent it over. This opportunity now is to make this bill look like the Senate version as well as what's already passed the Senate.
The bill that you passed earlier in the House...
No, earlier in the Senate.
I'm sorry. Yes. I stand corrected. Is that the piece of legislation you handled that would require elected officials to be vested at 10 years?
Yes.
That's what the amendment you're putting on the senator from Cole is.
Correct.
Is that elected officials would be treated just like state workers and they would have served 10 years in the General Assembly
correct.
Before they are vested.
Correct. There are a lot of them could only serve up to 8 years in the jail.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. I just, as you well know, I didn't agree with you on that amendment, so
correct.
I'll continue to try to and disagree with you on this. Thank you.
Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Cape.
Senator, yield. We'll proceed.
I just want to make sure I know what I'm doing here,
right.
That if 1331 passes in the way that it is right now, if you're elected to the House of Representatives and we don't change term limits and you serve your full 8 years in the House, by term limits, you will never vest in the retirement system?
Correct.
Okay, unless you come over to serve in the Senate.
Or we do what I talked about on the floor, which is to not give members of the General Assembly a better pension system than regular state workers.
Yeah.
So you can amend the pension system for regular state workers to mirror that we've done the General Assembly.
Right.
However, that's extremely expensive. So
right.
where I've set up and talked with members that are here is, I don't think we should treat ourselves better than we treat state workers relative to the fringe benefits and the last part. We don't treat ourselves any better on health care. We don't have a higher subsidy rate than regular.
And I'm completely...
And pensions is the last one that's left.
Sensitive to the argument. The counterbalance to that is there's nothing in the Constitution that tells a state worker that they have to leave after 8 years if they do that. We have a constitutional
Actually, there
mandate.
Is. If you're a judge, you have to leave at 70. If you're a highway patrol worker, you have to leave at 62.
But realistically, you're not going to become, well, you might become a judge within
Correct.
That 8 year window, but you, in the state patrol, that
Well, Senator, there's a big debate whether or not members of the General Assembly should even have a pension.
Right. And I understand that, but the thing that I'm very concerned about, and I remain concerned about, the small business owner who comes down here as part of their service to their state should have something that offsets. I mean, let's face it, your law practice obviously has suffered by being down here. My law practice has suffered by being down here. It's a choice that we made. There's a little bit of offset and a little bit of salary. There's a little bit of offset with regard to the insurance, and there's a little bit of offset with regard to the retirement. But overall, what my biggest concern is, and I don't know where that sweet spot is, but my biggest concern is that we make it so difficult for a small business owner to walk away from their business or a farmer to walk away from their business, and we take away anything that they might have been able to contribute by being 100% full bore at their business. I'm just concerned that I don't know where that is. So I'm sensitive to what you're doing, and as you know, I don't like government treated different than the average citizen. I've always stood up on sovereign immunity. I can't stand sovereign immunity. I think it's horrible. But, you know, that's the way it is. So I don't know. This may be an area where we just agree to disagree, but I am really concerned that because of the constitutional prohibition that, you know, when term limits, if term limits are ever changed so that a person has an option of serving 10 years, I think I'd probably agree with you. But right now, since
what
you
about
have
just
to get
getting
out,
rid of all pensions for politicians?
I wouldn't. I don't think I would agree with that for the same reason that why would I get rid of pensions for firefighters or teachers or anyone else that's paid with taxpayer dollars? I just don't think I would. But
well,
you know,
the vast majority of people that pay all the taxes here, and I'm talking upwards of 90% in the state of Missouri, don't even get a pension.
Yeah, well, or they get some sort of retirement. I would agree if we switch it over to 401k.
Well, I mean.
But this doesn't switch it over to a 401k. This just eliminates.
No.
Right. All right.
No.
Thank
we
you,
don't
Senator.
Have a we don't have a defined contribution system in the state.
All right. I appreciate it, Senator. Thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator from Cole is recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the senator from Cape helping
on adoption of the substitute. Pardon me.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the help on this, and I move that the substitute be adopted.
Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion on adoption of the Senate committee substitute. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate committee substitute is adopted. Senator, you have a motion to make.
Mr. President, I now move that House Bill 1331 as amended by the Senate Committee substitute be third read and finally passed.
Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Cole has closed on the bill, and the rules of the Senate require that that bill be referred to the Committee on Fiscal Oversight. But he has been recognized to close, and if and when it returns to the floor of the Senate and we go back to it, we will go straight to the vote. Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, would you please refer House Bill 1331 with the Senate committee substitute to the Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight?
Shall be so referred, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senate Bill 1128, Senator from the 8th.
House Bill 1128 be brought before the body for final third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute.
Send your substitute forward.
And I move for its adoption.
Has it been distributed?
I don't believe so. I will not.
Senator, if it hadn't been distributed, we're going to read it. Okay, it's short. We will be in the process of copying it and distributing it. If you've moved for the adoption, care to explain?
Sure. Mr. President, the underlying bill does three things. It has a overseas training ribbon. It also has a partnership ribbon, and then it has a Minuteman Award that the Adjutant General can give out to businesses to recognize them for their service to our servicemen and women in the National Guard. The committee substitute adds two things. It adds a Vietnam Veterans Day, which would be March 30th, and it also adds a Veterans of Operation Enduring in Iraq Freedom, and that's going to be on March 26th. Be glad to answer any questions.
The senator from the 8th has moved for the adoption of the Senate substitute to House Bill 1128, which has not yet been distributed. Senator from the 23rd, are you seeking recognition? Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
If we could just lay that bill on the informal calendar, and we'll get that distributed. And we'll...
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senate House Bill 1680, Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I move that House Bill 1680 be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the senator. Senator, I believe the correct motion is that it be taken up for third reading and final passage.
I move that it be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Johnson. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Madam President. House Bill 1680 would improve our current Hear It at Home program, which would enable greater utilization of this program for our veterans. This would be veterans who are recently discharged from either active duty or from the Missouri National Guard program. Currently, we have something called the Show Me Initiative programs, and there's sometimes a little bit of confusion with that. And so what this would do would change it to the Show Me Heroes program. And this is a program that's currently being underutilized, and this would also take away part of the obligation of 20% match by our not-for-profits. And what this would do is hopefully expand the program and have more veterans take advantage of this. I'd be glad to renew my motion, or I'd be glad to take any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Johnson. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Johnson.
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and I do appreciate your explanation and working with you on the committee that we brought this out. We also had the Senate version, but now we're moving the House version. I know that the governor has talked about this bill as well and and wanting that and a tax credit. What I wanted to stress was, and I think you hit on this, is that this is 100% federal funds. If anything is associated with the cost that's there on that, so there's no GR or fiscal note associated with any of this relative to the reimbursed employers of the returning veterans. So there's a federal program that allows employers of veterans, if they have to be trained, to be reimbursed 20%. And all we're really doing is authorizing the utilization of that federal program through the state.
That's exactly right. There's a zero fiscal note on there. So, in fact, we're going to be bringing down more federal funds. So,
right.
You're exactly right.
And the budget is crafted in a way in which that can be drawn down, because it's one of the few E's that we left within the budget.
Right. Because we don't know. We don't know how many.
Right. Well, you don't know how many veterans will take advantage of the program and how many then employers will be reimbursed.
Right.
Via the federal government that has to go through this. I'm also wanting to see, I guess there's another part that is another bill that you and I are working with that would allow the Adjutant General, that's the Minuteman, isn't it? So that's not part
that
of this.
That's not in
another bill that we,
right.
I think that's going to be part of the Senator from Jackson, or where do we call him? The senator
from the
8th,
right?
Yeah, the senator from the 8th. I know you're not senator from Lee Summit, but I couldn't think of where that was. But the senator from the 8th is going to be part of his overall
right.
bill. But that's kind of everything that works together there.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for your work on this, and thank you for the inquiries.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Does any of the senator desire to be heard on the pending motion, Senator from Lewis? For what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the sponsor.
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, how are you today?
Great.
I know that you've been very supportive of veterans' issues in the past, and you actually serve on that commission, don't you?
Right. I think we all do. I think we all have a passion for veterans across our state, and we all have folks that we know near and dear to our hearts. Some of us in the body have actually served, and so absolutely these issues are very important to us.
And there's been an issue that we've been working on all year, actually for more than 1 year, and that deals with the funding for veterans programs, doesn't it?
I think we all realize that we have to have adequate funding for our veterans home primarily. That's the one that there's three parts of the Veterans Commission that we need to take care of. One, our veteran service officers, veteran cemeteries, and our veterans' homes. And so I don't think any one of us in the body want to do anything but fully fund and fully staff our veterans' homes.
And that's been the struggle that we've been dealing with, because that fund is running out, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that, and it's been an ongoing battle. Since 1999, there was a trust fund which had up to $30 million, and it's just been decreasing year after year after year. So now there is a balance, but not enough to keep the funds going in the future.
I know we've probably all talked about this whole issue and tried a lot of different tacks to fix the issue, and I think this year we probably have really the solution we need, or at least I think we've come a long way from when we started on it, but...
Well, the good thing is
that's actually kind of going back to the way it started out back in the 90s.
Yeah. The good thing is there's been an ongoing dialogue since the very beginning of session. It even started last fall, and so I think that's positive. I'm confident that by the time the session is over, and there's been a lot of discussion. I know the chairman of our Veterans Commission has had some ideas as well, and so I think that's very positive that we're looking at ways to fully fund, fully staff our veterans' homes.
Thank you very much,
Senator.
Does Senator from Lewis, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been.
Are you asked for a waiver? Are you asking for a waiver of the reading?
I do ask for a waiver of the reading.
All right. You probably should make your motion to adopt the amendment.
I make a motion that the amendment be adopted.
Senator, would you like to explain your amendment?
This is an amendment, and I know it'll generate some discussion, and it kind of goes like what I was talking to the senator back here about the veterans fix. I know we've got another bill that's pending in a committee yet. It's been there for a while, but anyway, it's an issue I think that we've all been concerned about.
The senator from Lewis has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. The amendment has been distributed. Is there any objection to waiver of the reading? Seeing none, the reading will be waived. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending amendment? Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you seek recognition? State your point of order.
Madam President, this amendment goes beyond the scope and title and original purpose of the bill.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the point of order? The point of order will be referred to the pro tem. Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I'd request unanimous consent to stand at ease until ruling by the pro tem on the point of order.
Seeing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease pending ruling on the point of order.
Senate will come to order. Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you.
Senator from Lewis, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, I withdraw the amendment.
The amendment is withdrawn. Madam Secretary, please send the amendment back. Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
By the Senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield? Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
Why did you withdraw?
He yields. Proceed.
After discussion, decided that he's got the bill in his committee. I have been working with him, but I hadn't seen anything, and I was hoping to get a little discussion out here on the floor before before it popped out of his committee, but it would have been ruled out of order, I believe, anyway.
I think the senator from Cape, and I'll inquire of him, but when we were dealing with the budget last week, we discussed the House put, I'd have to ask the senator from Boone if it's $10 million or what, taking money from the veterans, and they were backfilling it, I guess, with your idea. The senator from Cape can correct me if I'm wrong. Are you having a tough time hearing me?
A little bit. I generally do.
I'm sorry.
The Senate, please pay attention to the debate so that the senators can hear each other in debate. Proceed, Senator.
Thank you. I think as I heard last week, and this is hearsay, I will inquire the senator from Cape, but originally the boarding fee money went into the Capital Improvements Trust Fund or the Veterans Trust Fund or whatever, and then I believe in the late 1990s, I think it was former First Lady Carnahan's, one of her policies was to do early childhood development. So they split the money, and the trust fund has since dwindled down. I had heard, and I inquired of the senator from Cape, that eliminating the early childhood development from getting the money, then all the money would then once again re-get invested into the trust fund, which would deal with your issue.
That's true, and I know as I've worked with the senator from Cape that we wanted all the money to be done through appropriations, not just give them a slush fund like a couple other departments that we've got. You know, when we have those commissions that really we have no way of getting a hold on them or anything like that, it is not something that both of us, I know, wanted to happen.
Which commissions have slush funds?
Slush funds, that's money, I say. They get their own tax money, and they have their own commission, and they're kind of out there. MoDOT and the Conservation Commission.
The reason they have those slush funds is because it's in the Constitution. The reason it's in the Constitution is because the people voted on it. So I don't understand how you make the accusation of slush funds when the citizens agreed to the Constitution to allow it. Not getting off the subject, but we sit here and create ways, and you're going to continue to create ways as a legislator to take away your power from appropriations more and more. We pass bills continuously that designate authority of where the monies will go when generated.
Well, we would like all this to go through the appropriations process. Of course, we know that there are some homes that need to be rebuilt, but they also have a maintenance fund that they have to, you know, operations and maintenance they have to use every year.
Well, actually, the funding still does go through the appropriation process. Now, when the money of whatever happens in the senator from Cape goes that route, the money goes into this Veterans Trust Fund, but the legislature still has to say yes to the appropriations of how that trust fund is funded. That is not one that the veterans solely control. That when they come in and say, we need these capital improvements for this veterans home, and it lists in House Bill 13, we're going to change the generator at the veterans home in Bell Fountain Neighbors due to all the power outages, and it's going to be paid for by the Veterans Trust Fund. That has to be appropriated, and it goes through the appropriation process that we currently do. So you do have that authority through the appropriations process currently.
And that's what we wanted to make sure that continued through the appropriations process.
Well, you said they had slush funds and they didn't have to go through the appropriations process, and I'm trying to articulate they do have to go through the appropriations process.
Well, conservation does too, but they bring in a budget and it just...
Well, conservation they need, and so do MoDOT need, the money goes, and all we do is say yes, but we actually have input of how the money is spent with the Veterans Trust Fund and where they can spend it.
And the legislature actually has 4 members on that 9-member commission.
Well, they have members for recommendations, but they also have the ability through the appropriations process. And if you do a capital improvements bill this year, the leasing bill, you can offer an amendment to take that appropriation out of the funding process, even though it's veterans, and then it would just stay in that funding. So you still have the control of appropriating, whereas MoDOT and conservation, that's one lump sum that they dictate how the money is spent. But in the Veterans Fund, we do have the authority still how to spend that money.
And we wanted to keep that, make sure we kept
that. Right, I'm clarifying that because you had started that the veterans had a slush fund, and that's how my inquiry became, what slush fund are you talking about? And it's actually a veterans fund that we still have the authority as elected officials to oversee the funding of it.
We didn't want them to develop, or we didn't want to develop a slush fund for them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
President, can I inquire the senator from Cape?
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
Yields, proceed.
Senator, we discussed this early, I think, last week in the appropriations process and in the appropriations bill. I think the House funded the switching of the funding for the veterans through a bill which was going to come from, I think, what the senator from Lewis has introduced here, to lower the payout on lottery tickets to fund it. That bill was held up, and you had explained to everybody that what, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the game plan now is to go back to how it was before 1997 or 98 when you divvied up the money between the early childhood and the veterans. And I'm bringing this inquiry because we're at the stage of our careers. Everybody needs to know the intricacies of some of this and the history of it all.
All right.
So you're going back to how it was originally before we started funding early childhood development off the dollar boarding fees. Now, you had stated you have it going to that, and you have that piece of legislation.
Right.
Is that piece of legislation on the calendar?
No.
With the appropriations process going forward, can I ask where that piece of legislation is?
It is in draft form, but it has not been execed out of the committee yet. As you'll recall, last week, that's why I was kind of, as we were taking time through the appropriation, I inquired of the senator from the 7th, the senator from the 4th, making our way through all of the committee members on where they were so that they were knowing that this was coming and working with them after we had an exhaustive hearing that looked at all of the aspects of this piece of legislation.
When we pass legislation, sometimes they like to pass the you like to pass the legislation first before the budget is done. Is the game plan to pass the budget and then pass this so you know, or is this going to go its route? Or, you know, we always use, everyone uses the phrase budgeting on the come.
Right.
I guess passing the budget, and it's going to conference, so it's not done, but knowing where that piece of legislation is and how to handle it during the appropriations process in the conference, is there any idea of what the game plan is there?
I think it has to go through an executive session in the committee, and then the pro tem has to accept the report from the committee chair, and then it has to go on the calendar, and then once on the calendar, the floor leader has to ask that it be brought up on the floor. And I mean, I think
I understand
the normal,
that.
I'm
being sincere. I'm
right.
Not being facetious in any way.
Right.
Just trying to see where.
I can't give you a specific day.
Okay.
That this will be accomplished on this day any more than I can tell you when the budget will be accomplished, if it'll be before May 11th or on May 11th or after May 11th.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just the process. Now, while I'm in this inquiry, could you explain to me now that we're talking about it? Part of this legislation is to bring it back to where it was, and how is early childhood development?
I think, just as a rehash, what we've already talked about on the floor and what the committee has already worked through. The governor's budget proposed a $1 increase on boarding fees.
Correct.
And that was keyed in, as you will know as a former budget chair, into the BRAS system.
That is
and the correct. BRAS system key in, the way that works is budget and planning has it. That bases all your numbers into it. It was keyed in that way. The House rejected the dollar boarding fee and then came up with Representative Day's bill to increase lottery funds. And they thought they were going to get an increase of $35 million in lottery funds by reducing the payouts lottery funds. So everything holds itself as constant, including the addition of $4.7 million in advertising that both the House and the Senate appropriators believe will generate a net $14 million. Then they still spent $35 million. Now, I'm not here to judge the agreement to of those projections, but their projections, just like 3.9% consensus revenue estimate is a projection, just like, you know, $40 million coming from the foreclosure of homeowners settlement is a projection.
No, that's fair, just like we're receiving $12 million more in lottery proceeds this year. But we're also not receiving $30 million less in gaming proceeds. So
correct.
I'm with you.
Correct.
I got that portion
of
it.
Yeah, so that's what the House did. The Senate kept, by and large, those same numbers of increased in lottery. And we've talked about it on the floor. If you look at the Senate's budget, it is projecting $323 million in lottery.
Yeah, I agree with your analogy that what you explained on the floor when you're dealing with the prize payout and what you said. Senator, as you well know, your first 2 years in the House, you were in the minority. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you're in the minority, you're in a little more the dark than you are when you're in the majority. So I am not trying to be confrontational.
No, I'm just trying to lead you through there because I don't know. But that's how...
That bill passed,
and in that House, they didn't do the $1 boarding fee. As I said, they reduced the payouts.
Correct.
That bill came over to the Senate. The Senate had a hearing, and in the testimony that we took, and I don't want to speak for the other members of the committee and where they're at, but I think that, by and large, the committee believed that it was credible public testimony that if you reduce the payouts, you are not going to generate the same amount of money.
Right.
In fact, you're going to generate a much larger factor by minus.
That is correct. And you explain that. And I don't want to force to rehash that. And what I'm getting to is there is an idea floating in your legislation of how to replenish the early childhood portion of it.
Correct.
That's where I'm going with this
question. And so when we looked at it at the committee, we looked at that angle too. We also looked at the angle that no one else in the building looked at, which was the fact that lottery funds could not be used for anything other than education. So there's many of these early childhood programs that go through the Department of Social Services, Head Start, a lot of these, you know, bigger type early childhood programs. They don't go through DESE. They don't go through K through 12. So on two levels, and not speaking for the entire committee, but there were concerns that, number one, lottery funds can't be used for all the early childhood programs, and number two, you could not in any way, shape, or form, I guess in our opinion, my opinion, probably more so than most, believe that you'll get more money for reducing payouts. So we came and started over, and it took us a little while to start over. Had daily conversations. That's why I find it kind of ironic that the governor is saying what the governor is saying today. I'm just going to keep him in the dark from here on out because I've talked to him and his people every day, multiple times a day, on what we're coming with. We've even worked with them on language specifically Linda Lubring in Budget and Planning, they came up with concert with us, to continue the idea of giving veterans all of the boarding fee money, and then being able to replace approximately that $30 million that currently goes to early childhood education money with the veterans through a dedicated funding stream, the dedicated funding stream that they found and that the committee has talked about, and we will determine if the committee goes forward with that in executive session, is tobacco funds. And then be able to use the tobacco funds that can go both in education and in social service expenditures, unlike lottery. And then, through the projections of lottery, you'll be able to back GR out of the other areas and supplant that with the tobacco. So, having sat down with meetings with Senate Appropriations staff, Linda Lubring of Budget and Planning, everyone has signed off in concept to that deal in language. It's just now a matter of getting it before the committee and holding executive sessions.
Okay. You answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from Johnson? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam President. I close.
The senator from Johnson has renewed his motion that House Bill 1680 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Bill 1680, an act relating to the Show Me Heroes program. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Franklin votes aye. Senator from the second votes aye. By your vote of 32 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the titling and perfecting motions be made and carried. House Committee substitute for House Bill 1123, Senator from Phelps.
President, I ask that bill be laid on the informal calendar.
The bill will be laid on the informal calendar. House Bill number 1103, Senator from Polk.
Madam President, I ask that be laid over on the informal calendar.
The bill will be laid on the informal calendar. House Committee substitute for House Bill number 1525, Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Madam President. I was looking down. I move that Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 1525 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Lawrence. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
As opposed to say no, the ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Madam President. Now I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. This is the Justice Reinvestment Act. We have debated the Senate version of this, sent it over to the House earlier. This substitute makes this exactly like the Senate version that we sent out, with the one exception that the joint interim committee created by an amendment from the senator from Cape to study the overall criminal code reform is not on this version. Since that amendment was offered, the President pro tem and some members brought through a concurrent resolution to create that committee now and start that work now so that it can be ongoing rather than having to wait till session is out. We have passed that SCR over to the House where we are awaiting action, and hope to have members from both bodies appointed to work on that. With that, I would take any questions and renew my motion.
The senator from Lawrence has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 1525. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Cape, for seeking recognition, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President, to inquire the senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do yield.
He yields.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and I do appreciate you coming up and visiting with me before we got to this bill and explaining kind of where we're at. I'm not going to offer that amendment. I appreciate and understand how we're going to get there substantively. I just want to remind the body that, as in my opinion, as we deal with this, until we're willing to sit down and have an honest discussion with our constituents and us as policymakers in the state of Missouri as to what we are willing to spend, and I look to the senator from the first, because is it $30,000 or $29,000 a day for prisoners? It's upwards of that, a year, yeah, or what is it, 18, 20? Somewhere in there. He used to have it on the, I think it's $18,000 a year. So whatever you're willing to spend $18,000 a year of taxpayer dollars to house someone. And I've given the example many, many times on the floor, and I'll do it once again. I myself, having visited with constituents, am very comfortable voting to say we're not going to spend $18,000 a year making a felon in state prison for somebody that's driving while revoked. All right? You drive without a driver's license, fine them, you know, make their insurance real expensive, whatever you want, but to make taxpayers spend $18,000 a year to send them in prison, them no longer be able to work. Most of the people that are driving while revoked are doing it to get back and forth to work or in some capacity of work. So we take that away from them. We make them a felon. It just is a never-ending spiral that the taxpayers are continually given the bill to pay for. So first, we send them to jail at $18,000. We take away their ability to drive so they're on food stamps and welfare. We do all of this stuff. And then we come on the floor and decry how out of control our budget is. So I'm one that says we spend way too much money, but continue to say here's how we can change the structural problems that are omnipresent within the current way in which we do things. So I wanted to stress that. I appreciate that the President Pro Tem is putting together a committee that can look at what the senator from the 10th introduced in her truly non-green legislative initiative of filing the rewrite of the criminal code. And, you know, I don't have a problem, and I think we all said, just because the bar introduced a bill, we're not going to take it up and pass it without reading it. So I think this committee and hopefully the future senator from Troy will be part of that review process and be able to look at it, knowing fully well that we need to have that dialogue on what we are willing to spend $18,000 a year in taxpayer dollars to house a criminal. What, you know, it's not just as easy as us continuing to make everything a crime and somehow pretending that there's no costs associated with that. Because they're very real and they're growing at an exponential pace. So I appreciate that one component. I also want to make sure with your underlying bill, as I recall during the Senate debate, we actually set in statute a guaranteed reimbursement rate for the counties, correct?
Subject to appropriation. And the it's only for those limited administrative jail offenses.
DIPs.
Incarcerations. The DIPs, right.
Right.
And the probation or parole worker who is sending the DIPI, I guess, has to certify to the local sheriff or whoever that the funds are there, and if the funds are not there, the sheriff doesn't
right.
have to take
so if we don't appropriate it, the whole thought process to do the quick DIP instead of the outright revoke will never happen because the counties want their guaranteed money, and I don't want to rehash the debate, but there's, I think, an open question of whether or not that amount we set in statute is higher than what we set in reimbursement this appropriations process.
I understand that that dichotomy there. I think right here, this is definitely a situation where they're not being held pending a hearing or pending a trial. These are folks who, if we didn't have this alternative, they'd probably be being sent to DOC, which would cost us a whole lot more. So I look at that.
I totally get it. I'm just saying, in one area of somebody that is put in for a quick dip, the county's going to get a higher reimbursement rate than where an individual is being housed by the county pending state adjudication.
Right.
I don't know that that's the wisest thing to do, is to set up that two-tier reimbursement process. That's one of the reasons why I don't mean to delay your bill, and I will not, but I will be voting no on that, just like I did the Senate version. The final one is, I think all of the empirical data that I have seen and the Pew Institute has seen and what you've done, when we look at ongoing recidivism rates, people that absconce again and again and again, they usually do it within the first 18 months of getting out of an incarceration environment, be it they're paroled or be it they're probationed or house arrest. Missouri right now, as I understand it and have seen, has a 5-year time period following release.
We're among the longest in the country.
Yeah, longest in the country. Now, instead of just moving down to 2 years, which is the norm, and all the empirical data that says someone's going to absconce within 18 months, you know, 24 months is 2 years, 18 months is before than 2 years, instead of just putting in state statute, hey, our time after release will be no greater than 2 years, that gets all of the repeat offenders, that gets everything else out there. We have to go through this game, well, that's my word, that's not a good word, through this process of getting time served to reduce from that five-year time period. And I think you and I hashed on the Senate version, there are some provisions where it looks like probation and parole could stop the accrual of that time period just by them filing an action, and then that action being found to be without merit, the prisoner doesn't get all of that time back.
They would not get the time that would lapse pending the resolution of the filed.
Right. So I'm a probation officer, and I file an action that I know is without merit, but just keeps this individual from getting to do that reduction. It's found to be without merit, and it took 8 months, it took a year and a half, whatever, in order to rule on that. That individual did not get that time reduced. And it's all unilaterally 100%. What we talked about and we couldn't get done because of the forces that would then call us weak on crime was to do this. Just simply say, we're not going through this process. Missouri's period is 2 years. Just like every other state. But, you know, I mean, the prosecutors, we would be weak on crime, and oh my gosh, no one would actually want to be able to research this enough to be able to go back home and have an honest dialogue with their constituents and logically debate a prosecutor that is so wrong on this that all they really care about is this $4 fee increase that I see on every bill that the prosecutors touch. I've now found it on 9 separate House bills. And I know what the prosecutor's number one legislative agenda is. That's to increase court costs by $4 on traffic tickets so that they can get an increase in retirement benefits. That's their number one priority. So anyway, I just wanted to rehash with you what my concerns are. Not going to the 2 years. Leaving probation and parole with no ability, or an individual with no ability to get time pending this adjudication process if it was found meritless, and the fact that we're guaranteeing one reimbursement rate on a DIP level versus what we put in the budget for every other reimbursement. I understand why you're going forward. I just think we could have done better, but hey, that is this place, and I'm sure you wanted to do better as well. I don't know if you have anything to say.
As far as the 5-year probation period, there will be the effort going forward. Hopefully this committee gets assembled. The 1,000-plus pages of the longest bill ever submitted by the senator from Troy may well be.
He hates trees.
Troy probably has no trees left.
Probably none. None. I mean, that'll be the next thing you hear is how the senator from Troy is going to Troy to cut down all of Troy's trees.
To build the water receptacle.
And build her horse that she will put all the water in so that she can carry Troy's water.
It's not perfect. Many of the things you pointed out I agree with. And my hope is that we've made some things better, and I recognize it's a baby step. The big work will be done after we're gone on the big criminal code rewrite, I hope. But I appreciate
where you are. Nope. Thank you, Senator, very much. Thanks for the inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
By the Senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I'm worried about your political career.
Probably about done. It's all right.
There was a positive editorial about the Senator from Lawrence in the Post-Dispatch, and I don't know how people in Southwest Missouri would take that. But since you're unopposed, I don't know if it'll be as detrimental as I originally thought, but I was worried. And I don't know if you had a chance, but
I appreciate your ongoing concern for my well-being.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Polk, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, first of all, I just want to thank you for doing what you did on this piece of legislation.
Well, I appreciate you serving on the working group that brought it together.
Well, it takes a lot of work, and when you make changes like that in the judicial system or what we're doing today, I guess from some time in the law enforcement career, I think we're on the right track of what you're trying to do because we're putting way too many people in prison. And even since the short time I've been up here, more and more people, we feel like sometimes we've got to introduce a new piece of legislation to look like we're tough on crime. And each year I see more and more of that we do that politically when it's not really the right thing to do. And I just appreciate the work you've done on this. I support what we're trying to do. And we got more laws on our books today than we can possibly enforce from an arena. But anyhow, I just want to tell you I'm supportive of the bill and appreciate the work you've done.
Thank you. Thank you, Pierce.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion of the senator from Lawrence? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close on adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
Thank you. I close.
A senator from Lawrence has moved for the adoption of Senate committee substitute for House Bill 1525. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate committee substitute is adopted. Now we're back on Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1525 for third reading and final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close. Thank you.
Senator from Lawrence has renewed his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1525 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1525, an act relating to criminal offenders under the supervision of the Department of Corrections. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle-Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Votes aye. Senator from Cape. Votes no. Senator from St. Francois. Votes aye. Senator from the 1st. Have you voted? Votes aye. By your vote of 28 aye, 2 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1495, Senator from Christian.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that House Bill 1495 with committee substitute be taken up before the body for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Christian. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from Christian.
Madam President, I now move that Senate committee substitute for House Bill 1495 be adopted. Madam President, this bill is pretty simple. It simply expands statutory immunity for insurance agents and others who investigate insurance crimes, fraud crimes, to be able to report them to law enforcement without being sued. That's really all it does. The reason it's a substitute, originally it had some civil action language in it. That has been taken out. The only thing that is left in it now is the immunity. We've had a 20% increase in insurance crime fraud in the last 3 years in Missouri. That cost all of us money on our premiums. Those folks are just a little hesitant to go and tell law enforcement about it if they feel like they could be sued. And all this is just saying they have immunity from that lawsuit. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
The Senator from Christian has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute to House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1495. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize close.
I close.
Senator from Christian has renewed his motion for adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1495. All of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate Committee Substitute is adopted. Now we're back on the underlying motion from the Senator from Christian for third reading.
Madam President, I renew my motion for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute.
Well, Senator, I believe that motion has already been made and carried, so that would be your third reading motion.
Third read and finally passed as amended or as a committee substitute.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Christian. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Christian has renewed his motion for third reading and final passage of Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1495. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1495, an act relating to fraudulent insurance acts. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 7th votes aye. Senator from the 15th votes aye. Senator from the 13th votes aye. By your vote of 32 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. House Bill number 1112, Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that House Bill number 1112 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 2nd. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Madam President. I now move that House Bill number 1112 be read the third time and placed upon its final passage. what, for the body's knowledge, what this bill is. This is the same bill we passed out of this body unanimously that dealt with out-of-state sales of insurance policies that have a small rider on them with a P&C policy that are then bundled together so that reinsurance companies in Missouri could then bid on that type of business to under it.
Senator, may I interrupt you for just
yes.
a moment? There's a Senate committee substitute on this bill. Are you explaining, are you requesting the adoption of the Senate committee substitute?
Of course I'm asking for the adoption of the, that's silly.
I thought so.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. What this bill does, Madam President, as I was explaining, was that it does then allow Missouri businesses that deal in reinsurance to bid on those. This is only for out-of-state, or I'm sorry, out-of-country insurance policies that are written to have small P&C riders on them. I gave the example of hole-in-one insurance or insuring your skis or something of that nature. It's a very common practice in the eastern rim of sales of insurance policies. Gladly answer any questions. I answer.
The senator from the second has moved for the adoption of Senate committee substitute to House Bill 1112. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, may I inquire of the senator from second?
Senator from the second, do you yield?
I do.
He yields.
Thank
proceed.
You, Madam. Senator, I didn't quite hear everything. We serve on small business, and I'm very familiar with this bill, but I just wanted to, you did offer a Senate committee substitute.
Yes, and that
okay.
just made it look exactly
and
like
I have
bill.
Voted. I have voted on a Senate committee substitute, and I just wanted to go over the elements of that are the base bill is that allows these life insurance sold in the United States and somehow opens them up to foreign countries. What is that? To make it more competitive?
Yeah, I mean...
They can sell their products more easily overseas?
It allows them to bid on a book of business that is overseas that they can't bid on because of Missouri's law, that because they combine a small portion of a P&C product with a life product, like someone might add a rider to insure their snow skis onto their life insurance policy. We don't do that in the United States, but in South Korea and those types, could they do that all the time. So this would just allow them to reinsure that book of business, even though they're domiciled here in Missouri.
And then the other provision that we've dealt with for the last couple of years that hasn't ever made it to law, but it's passed out of this body before, is the reinsurance component. Is that in the sub?
Reinsurance component.
The RGA reinsurance component.
That's what this deals with.
And right. But I'm just saying that this would allow, this doesn't assume in any way that these people doing business that we assume any problems from those
no.
foreign countries like
no.
South Korea or anything else like that.
No, it doesn't. It just, and it even caps them. They can only do, this amount of business can only be at maximum 3% of their total business. It just allows them to participate in other markets.
Okay. I just want to get up and ask you because several of my colleagues, we didn't quite hear your introduction to the bill and explanation. Some even said we didn't hear anything, and I just wanted to give you the opportunity to explain it all.
Well, I was sitting down trying to see if I could start the bill that way because the senator from Johnson, he actually triple dog dared me to do it. He committed a slight faux pas because he dared me. I said no, and then he triple dog dared me, and he skipped over the double dog dare. So it was a little bit of a slight, you know, he messed up some protocol, but I went ahead and tried to start the bill from my seat. But the very adept people at the dais would not turn on the microphone, so I think that's probably where some of the inference was.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate committee substitute? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
Senator from the second has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate committee substitute for House Bill 1112. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate committee substitute is adopted. Senator from the second.
Thank you, Madam President. I now move that Senate Bill 1112 be read the third time and placed upon its final passage.
Heard the motion from the senator from the second that House Bill 1112, as amended by the Senate Committee Substitute, be third read and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the second has renewed his motion that House Bill 1112 be placed, read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1112, an act relating to health, to life, health, and accident insurance. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones,
Senator from Boone, votes aye. By your vote of 30 aye, 2 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1042, Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move the House Bill number 1042 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Madam President. House Bill 1042 deals with higher education. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we passed out of this body, I think, 33-1, Senate Bill 455, which deals with course transfers from our community colleges to our four-year colleges. It deals with reverse transfers and getting a degree from a two-year college once the credits have been taken care of in a four-year school, and also with remediation. And so that is part of this bill, House Bill 1042. In House Bill 1042, they also added some pretty interesting language dealing with proprietary schools. We've had a problem in the last few years that it takes so long to get our proprietary schools certified with new classes and new courses. And Department of Higher Education has had a reduction in staff. They're doing all that they possibly can. But it's been really tough, and our proprietary schools have had to wait months, even years, to get certified for new programs. What this bill does, it does bring the proprietary schools to the table. And they came up with a proposal actually to increase their fees so that they could actually provide for more regulation in Department of Higher Education. So this is one of those unique cases where the industry themselves saw the problem. They decided to increase the fees themselves to get better service and better quality from the Department of Higher Education. It also establishes a commission of proprietary schools. And when it went through the public hearing process, no opposition whatsoever. There's a problem out there. People saw a need to solve it, and they offered a solution. So I think it's a great piece of legislation. I urge my colleagues to vote for it. Be glad to take any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Senator, was your motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute?
I move the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
The Senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1042. Does any senator desire to be heard on adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute? Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the senator.
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
You know, your bill deals with the Coordinating Board of Higher Ed, and so I hate to miss an opportunity to send them a little message, and so I have a little amendment that I'd like to offer, and I'd like
can't
to
can't you send a message another way?
I'm sorry?
Is there other ways to send them a message besides tacking an amendment on a successful bill?
Well, at least I can talk to you about it.
Yeah.
The thing is that, you know, the Coordinating Board is supposed to look at data regarding schools and make appropriations recommendations.
Don't you have that ability through the appropriations process?
Right. And so basically all I really want them to do is take into account as they're doing their work the total funding per student. They're supposed to take into account enrollment, manpower, all of that.
Don't different schools have different costs, though?
Well, they do.
I mean, there are some universities. There are some universities.
This is something that I've been working on for years, and I haven't been successful. And so, by inserting,
you're talking about equity funding, right?
Yeah. By just inserting into the wording on page three, the things that they should look at, I would like them to also look at total funding per student. You'd think that they would, but the Southeast Missouri State University also has one of the very lowest funding per students. And
Senator, wouldn't you agree that some colleges it's more expensive to educate than others?
Well,
I mean, you have some schools that have graduate programs. You have some schools that have an aviation program. You have some schools that have speech and hearing. You have some that really are very intensive. And it requires a very low student-to-teacher ratio. And then others, fast-growing schools, might have 500 in a classroom.
I want the coordinating board to take all those things into account.
And you don't think they take that into consideration?
Well, they haven't been receptive over the years. I mean, the school that I went to, Missouri Western.
But if you're a fast-growing school, you get more tuition. I mean, people are paying to go. So, I mean, there are certain things that the incidental fees that go along with
that.
I
just slip into these words and just say, and total funding per student, might send them a message that they need to be, you know, considering that and taking that into account, which up till now hasn't occurred. So,
do all the colleges charge the same for a credit hour? No, they don't.
Well,
do we pay
and
the
then
professors
I want them
the same?
To take all of that into account. The thing
do
is,
they pay the professors the same? No, they don't. Do we pay
well,
the same for
not.
Dorms? So where do you draw the line on equity funding?
Well,
I mean, we have a board of governors.
All I'm saying is that they should factor it in as they're looking. Some of them, the school that is in my district is so inequitable that it cries out to be fixed. The same thing goes for the senator from Cape's school. And so all I'm asking is just to slip in some words that just say, take that into account too. I'm not telling them how to do it. I just want it to enter into their thinking. I mean, your bill has to go to conference anyway, since it's a Senate committee sub. I mean, it's not any big deal. My words don't have any, like, force to them. It just says they'll take it into account.
So why put it in?
Because it sends a message and tells them this needs to be taken into account. It
and you
does.
Don't think that's done through the appropriations process, or you know how it's done. Every fall, the university,
success.
They put in their request to the Department of Higher Education.
I have not had success working for the appropriations process.
Well, because a lot of people don't agree with equity funding.
Well, the thing is, I'm not asking for that. I'm just simply saying,
yeah, you are.
Coordinating board, I'm saying, take that into account. Look at that. Make sure that it's just a factor. I mean, I'm hoping that you'll, you know, be acceptable to a.
Well, I think you can tell by the way this inquiry is going, I'm not supportive of it.
It's
so
pretty obvious.
Right.
But,
and I haven't been since the 10 years I've been here in the legislature either.
Well, I'm going to try. So, Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan.
Madam President, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Send your amendment forward. Has your amendment been distributed?
I would ask that it be read. It's short.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Schaaf to amend Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1042, page 3, section 173.005, line 52, by inserting after the word, quote, missions, close quote, the following, quote, and total funding per student, close quote.
Senator from Buchanan.
I move for the adoption of the amendment, and I would ask to inquire of the senator from...
The senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from
Cape Girardeau.
Do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Your school and my school are at the bottom of the list, struggling, and my amendment...
Struggling for what?
struggling for per student funding. I mean,
how stuff. About we just close your school? It's too close to another school. No, I'm serious.
Well,
I mean that would fix
if you wanted to close the school. I mean, you would want to close the one that's not close to the population center, and so the one that's not close to the population center is the, in the senator from Andrews district, the one that's close to the population
now,
center.
Now, I guess to cut to the chase, because I'm more interested in this omnibus county bill that's kind of matriculating up the calendar that the senator from the 15th got, and all of the tax increases and some of the other stuff that we've got rolling in this thing.
I just thought you might
to
be
tell
a
you
natural
the truth.
Ally.
But I don't see this. I don't see this the same way that you see it.
That's okay. Just thank you for your input.
Thanks.
Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the amendment from the senator from Buchanan, Senator? From Andrew, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President, to inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yeah.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I find it fascinating in this building how quickly we forget history. Let's remember and let's understand why your school's funded at the level that it's funded at. It was a community college that was changed to a university by this legislature, at which time they promised they would not be coming back asking for more money. That was the promise made. I will never forget it. As long as I'm in this room, as long as I'm in this building, I will never forget that process happening, because they said, listen, we want to be a university because we have some programs that we uniquely offer. We'd like to be able to offer master's programs maybe someday, but it'll be a long time from now. But we promise you we are not coming back asking for more money. And what's happening now? You're trying to change the way that the coordinating board views this to give them more money. This is exactly why the legislature doesn't trust anyone and why people don't trust the legislature and why politicians have a bad name. You say one thing and do another. At some point, enough's enough. If you want the coordinating board to go look at overall funding, hey, that's one thing. But continuously throughout your entire time that you've been in this body here, you've tried to figure out how to get your school brought up at the cost of everybody else. And that's just unacceptable. So, you know, under that theory that you're operating right now, the senator from the 15th, you're actually making his case. The senator from the 15th has some of the highest funded schools in the state, except for none of the money state funding. Like, they're all locally funded. He stood on this floor and argued and advocated for his schools, and we have overwhelmingly said no. I believe that although I understand and respect your never-ending desire to change and rewrite history on what you said you would do versus what is happening, the reality is at some point, Senator, we've got to remember that when all of this changed in 2005, there were some promises made. And I am maybe in the minority in this room, but I'm pretty committed to making sure that promises made are going to be promises kept.
Well, I want you to know that I don't know anything about any such promises. My concern is more for the students. And, you know, it seems that if you really cared about the students, you would put their needs above the needs of the institutions.
I agree completely.
And the thing is, I'm not breaking any promises. I never made any promises. I see an inequity, and I simply tried to fix
it. That is one of the most hypocritical things I've heard standing on this floor.
Do you think I'm being hypocritical?
I think that the fact that you're standing here saying that this school has to have more money is hypocritical, because they made a direct promise when we changed them from a college to a university. And you remember how controversial that was. It happened the same time that the University of Missouri was fighting adamantly against the name change in Springfield. The only one that nobody really objected to was the one in Joplin, because they were actually in a fight for their life with Pittsburgh, Kansas. But we have all conveniently forgotten that over the last 7 years.
Well, I know, but now that, you know, a lot of water has gone past the Capitol on the Missouri River, then, you know, we need to start thinking about what's right for the students, because times have changed and this perverse formula has gotten worse and worse and worse. And, you know, some universities have grown because of their natural convenience to the population.
Oh, no, let's talk about the growth. $25 million of state tax credits to build a football field up there. A football field that all those really cool and it's neat the Chiefs come. We spent $25 million. Last year, that $25 million generated $1.3 million in total economic activity, which means the state of Missouri got like $40,000 back. Oh. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves, Senator. At some point, enough's enough.
Well,
I am fine if you want to advocate that the coordinating board needs to go look at the overall picture and figure out what is equitable. That's a legitimate
request.
That's
all I want.
But that's not what you're doing here.
Yeah, it is.
Look
at this.
You're not saying go look at what the cost is, go look at what they offer, go look at what they're supposed to be doing.
That's part of the law.
Funding is less, you should change it. I am just adamantly opposed to this.
That's not what I'm saying.
It's poor public policy and is a direct violation of the promises made in 2005.
I didn't make such a promise. But the thing is, you know, we're going to agree to disagree, and we know what's probably going to happen, so.
Good enough. Senator, thank you. Madam President.
Senator from Andrew, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. I am always dumbfounded by how quickly we forget the commitments that are made. The reality is that although the senator from Buchanan is correct in his articulation that his institution has the lowest cost or the lowest, they receive the lowest amount of funding per pupil. The reality is there is a reason for that. And it was before they became a university, we funded them as a community college. We as a body changed them to a university, not because they met certain standards, but because they had the political will and the right people in place at a certain time to get their name changed. It was nothing about credentials. It was nothing about they changed their academics. None of those things happened. It wasn't that they did four different things and they changed their degrees or they specialized or anything like that. The process by which they went from a community college to a university is a political process. And you know what? That's the reality of the world that we live in. That's what we now have to deal with. But when that happened, I very clearly remember there being a very candid discussion about schools not coming back, asking for more money just because their names had been changed. Everyone else has kept that commitment. But every time that we're either talking about the higher ed budget, we're talking about a higher ed bill, whatever it is, there's a continuous attempt to try to break that imbalance. If the senator from Buchanan wants to put forward an overall package that says, let's go look at higher education funding, figure out why we're last in the nation, which is an embarrassing place to be, while we're first in the nation in historic preservation, while we're second in the nation in low-income housing, if that's the discussion we want to have about how do we look at the whole picture, that's a legitimate discussion. That's not what's happening here. And unfortunately, all he's trying to do here is change state statute that will drive up the cost of higher education, which ultimately we can't afford. I would humbly request my senator, that my colleagues join with the sponsor of the bill in doing what is right for the students of the state and defeat this amendment. Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending amendment? Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President.
Proceed.
I'd like to urge my colleagues to vote against.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you
Madam
seek
President?
Recognition?
Madam President. I'm sorry, I didn't have my microphone on.
Senator, just a moment. I've already sought the senator from the 13th. I will come back to you. Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, I have an inquiry to make, but I'll yield that he can.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that. Now, Senator from Johnson, keep us in order here.
For what purpose do you
seek recognition?
To speak on the amendment.
Please proceed loudly.
Yeah, and I'm sorry my microphone wasn't on. It's not often that I agree with the senator from Mercer, but he was right on this amendment. You know, there are certain ways that universities can apply for their funding through the Coordinating Board of Higher Education. There's also the appropriations process that available like that. I know that the Department of Higher Education has heard this message, and so I do not want it to be added onto this bill. Also, when you talk about equity funding, where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line the way that it's funded, and then does everything else have to be equitable? You know, the way that we charge per credit hour, how we pay our professors, how we charge for dormitories. It's a very dangerous thing once we get started with that. And so I would certainly urge my colleagues to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
By the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield? He yields. Proceed.
I want a history lesson real quick. St. Joe is Missouri Western, mm-hmm. and then the senator from Andrew is Northwest Missouri State University.
Right.
How long has Missouri Western been a university?
Since we changed the law, I think around 2005, I think.
Missouri Western?
Used to be Missouri Western. It actually used to be St. Joseph Junior College. Like, my mother went there.
Yeah, but it's been Missouri Western since I've been up here.
Right, and I think right around 1966 or 68,
yeah,
somewhere
there. Yeah, not 5 years ago. It's been a state-funded university.
It's been a state-funded college.
It college.
Was, the title was college. It was a four-year college. And
so it wasn't a... It was a four-year college since 1968.
Somewhere back in there, Senator John.
Well, that's
John
different
Downs
than a community college in the senator from Andrews, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I know all-timer sets in, but I remember taking the freshman tour in December of 1988, and it was Missouri Western that was a four-year college. And
right, it's been a,
when that inquiry was made, I was like, I never knew that was a community college all the years I was serving here.
It was before the 60s.
And then I guess what that inquiry was stating is in 2005, we passed a law that allowed so many colleges to change from colleges to universities.
Right.
Okay.
But see, my point is that
well,
so
I'm not, we can deal with equity funding, and there's been a date on this. I just wanted my history facts straight. I think when you did in 2005, did Missouri Southern become a university that year? Harris Stowe State College became a university?
In Missouri, let's see, the one became MSU, Missouri State University. That was Southwest,
oh, with the name change.
Southeast Missouri State U.
No, that was Springfield. Missouri State University. With the name change, we allowed three or four state colleges to become universities.
That's correct.
Okay, I wanted to clarify that because when we were talking about community colleges and them not coming back so far.
My question is, how long does the legislature have to
well,
be
I don't
bound
know.
By the
we haven't
promise
had.
Of a previous legislature? I mean, yeah. What, 100 years from now, the
well,
problem
we don't
just,
have no money coming in to help hire it anyway, so dealing
it just
with
keeps
that.
Giving.
I just wanted the inquiry to make sure I didn't lose my mind. Missouri Western has been a college since about 1968.
Somewhere
that's
in that
when
area.
It so bef- so when I was in kindergarten is when it went from a community college to a state college.
Yeah.
Not in 2005. I just wanted to make sure I had my facts straight. Thank you for my history lesson.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Could I inquire of you, do we have this amendment, or was it read?
The amendment was read.
Okay. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending amendment? Seeing none. Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam President. Just the senator from Andrew makes a good point that there were some representations made, but there is a standard that, you know, one legislature is not to be bound by the promises of a previous one. And it just seems to me that, you know, many, many years from now, if this is not corrected, it will continue to get worse exponentially. And at some point, it becomes ridiculous to have the funding for one school per student to be so outrageously above that of another. And I would ask, you know, when does that happen? And so all I've asked for is just that in addition to the data on enrollment, physical facilities, manpower needs, institutional missions, they just also look at the data of total funding per student. It's not an unreasonable request. I'm not demanding that they do any particular thing, just that it be looked at it, and I would humbly request my fellow senators to support the amendment. Thank
the senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 1042. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. All those opposed say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. The amendment is defeated. Now we're back on to the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Andrew, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire the senator from Green.
The senator from Green is not at his desk, but is rapidly approaching. Senator from Green, do you yield to inquiry from the senator from Andrew? He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I didn't see you over at the table. I knew you had an amendment that you wanted to put on. I didn't know if you had left the chamber, and so I just inquired of you to let you know that we had dealt with that one, because I knew that you had one. So
thank you. I appreciate that, and I know that staff is working on it there, and as you and I discussed, the amendment that they're drafting is the perfected version of that Senate Committee substitute, which includes this language that's...
Right. I think you've already passed this bill out of here that you're adding to this, if I remember correctly.
Right. It was the language that cleared up the conflicting statute pertaining to the Board of Governors, Missouri State University, and then we added this language on of yours that you've distributed here in this amendment. And if we're going to have the opportunity to do this, that would be great. I think it was Senate Bill 563, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Senator. I'm going to let you go. You can make your motion, and that way you've got the floor.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate
Thank you, Madam President.
Appreciate your help.
Thank you. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Green, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. I have an amendment which is being prepared. Perhaps we should stand, or I think I'll make a motion to stand at ease.
Seeing no objection, Senate will stand at ease pending the amendment.
Thank you.
Senate will come to order. Senator from the Green, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam President. I will move adoption of this amendment. It is being distributed, and I'll go ahead and explain it, and I won't close until it's...
Senator, if you would, with the understanding that you will not close on the amendment until it has been distributed, proceed with your explanation of the amendment.
Thank you. It is being sent to the dais there, and I would request a waiver of the reading as well.
The reading will be waived pending that you will not close until the amendment has been fully distributed. Proceed with your explanation.
And I will not close until it's been distributed. Just for explanation, this amendment is legislation that the body has passed already in the form of Senate Bill 563, which just clears up conflicting statute that dates back to the name change legislation for the Board of Governors for Missouri State University so that they can do those in an orderly fashion and not have a bunch of vacancies all at once. Clears up that conflicting statute. And for the body's knowledge, it also includes the legislation that was distributed by the senator from Andrew in the form of the amendment that's on the desks. So I think those are being distributed now. Happy to answer any questions.
The senator from Green has moved for the adoption of the amendment to Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 1042. Does any senator desire to be heard on that pending motion? Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield?
Sure do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, we wait on you for a minute, and it reminded me of we were waiting on you last Thursday morning about 9:45. Do you remember that?
Oh, no. I mean, yes, but oh, no, I didn't want to remember.
We were having our annual, our biannual group photo. 33 of us were here at 9:45 in the morning. Everyone was here, dressed, ready to go for our group photo, and who was not here?
And I was, yes, I was holding up the photo. I apologize again.
What did you say? I didn't hear that.
I said I apologize again.
Oh, okay.
And again.
All right. Okay.
And again.
Right. And we had a rousing applause for you. Or no, it really wasn't applause, was it?
Well, I knew I was in good shape. I knew that it wasn't, like, too bad because everyone sort of booed me, which was at least there was some fun in it. I figured I'd be in more trouble if nothing was said when I walked in the room.
Right, that's true. Well, I cannot tell you how many people said the word Photoshop as we were waiting for you. I mean, just like we can put him in, you know.
The picture might have turned out better that way.
Well, or we could put my picture in because, you know, people used to think we were the same person.
That's right.
Well, that's your amendment. It's great. It incorporates yours and the senator from Livingston, and it deals with the universities you represent as far as their governance. I think it's a great amendment. I wish I could vote for it twice, but I can't, so I'll just vote for it once. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for your help with this.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. If I might inquire of the senator from Johnson.
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I just wanted to mention something, and I hope you don't mind a small correction. Of course, you know, I don't mind. You have the big gavel. I have the small gavel in our committee. But I just wanted to offer you one small correction, and that is when the word Photoshop was being used in the discussions for our picture, it was being used in relation to that red blazer that you were wearing, not so much in relation to him not having arrived yet.
Is that what the Photoshop was about?
Well, yeah, when the word Photoshop was being used, that's
red blazer.
What it was about. It was just a minor correction.
Okay, all right.
Although I certainly agree with everything that you were saying about our other senator friend here, but I just wanted to give you that small correction, if you don't mind.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the amendment? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I believe that the amendment has been distributed, Madam President. And if that is the case, I close.
I have confirmed that the amendment has been distributed. And you're recognized to close. You have closed. Senator from Green renews his motion for the adoption of the Senate amendment to Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1042. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. A couple of ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment passes. Back on the motion from the Senator from Johnson. Does any other senator desire to be heard on adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that House Bill number 1042 be third read and finally passed, as
Senator,
amended.
Senator, we need to adopt the Senate Committee Substitute first.
I move that the Senate Committee Substitute be adopted.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson that we adopt Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1042. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Committee Substitute is adopted. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I now move that House Bill 1042 be third read and finally passed.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1042 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1042, an act relating to duties prescribed to the Coordinating Board for Higher Education. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviny, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Lawrence. Senator from Lawrence. You are recorded as an aye. Senator from the 11th. Votes aye. Senator from Jefferson. Votes aye. Senator from Cape. Votes aye. By your vote of 31 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. House Bill 1504, Senator from the 24th.
Madam President, I move that House Bill 1504 with committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
I've heard the motion of the Senator from the 24th. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from the 24th.
Madam President, I now move that the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 1504 be adopted.
Would you care to explain your Senate committee substitute, Senator?
I do. This bill ended up in its Senate committee substitute form. It essentially has four pieces to it. It's enabling legislation. First, it allows, there's a library district in Pemiscot County in the Boot Hill, angling that or not. It's enabling legislation will allow them to ask their voters if they would fund a sales tax increase to fund their local library. That's the first piece. It's an extension of a sunset on the aviation fuel tax. That's a dedicated fund that expires December of this year. It extends 10 more years. That's a fund that's capped. It's money that comes from fuel taxes, and that money is used to build and repair and maintain things like small runways around the state. In Missouri, in St. Louis area, in 1999, we authorized the creation of the Great Rivers Greenway. And the Great Rivers Greenway, its mission is to connect the parks and various parks with things like bicycle paths and things like that. And it passed and was allowed. It asked the voters for a 1/10 sales tax, which it ultimately received. This allows that same district to
ask a question of its voters of whether or not they want to fund a 316 sales tax increase for the completion of the relatively newly announced ARCH plan. That's to extend the ARCH all the way into the actual city itself. And then finally, this bill allows for Jackson County to essentially do what St. Louis County did and create a Greenways district. And with that, I renew my motion.
The senator from the 24th has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1504. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, do you yield? He yields. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. Do you know what White House black market is?
White House black market?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Okay. I didn't either till I got married. Do you know what what Nordstrom is?
I do know what Nordstrom
okay.
is. That's
I did. I didn't until I got married.
Yeah.
Do you know what Aeropostale? I think I'm saying that right. Aeropostale.
Well, I think it's something in a mall. So you're suggesting that you've never prior to marriage, you've not been in a mall.
Pretty much.
You're pretty well dressed.
And definitely I haven't been into any women's clothing stores. And now pretty much whenever we travel from southeast Missouri all the way up there, I am learning all of this stuff. I had never been in a Bath and Body Works either. It's one of the most amazing things I have ever seen that someone can spend $25 on little things that explode in the bath and then go down the drain in less than 15 minutes. You know, I mean, it's like flowers and all of this stuff. But
maybe it's a good thing that your legislative career is coming to an end. You might need an extra 4 months of billable hours to fund
without question, and that's totally. Without debate, it's axiomatic. But I say all of that because I used to do shopping in St. Louis, but now that I have a spouse, our household does a lot of shopping in St. Louis. Massive. I had no idea that the Limited was a destination. I had no idea. I thought the Limited meant it's limited. You know, not ending. But the Limited is truly one of the greatest oxymorons in the English language because the Limited is unlimited. And
I think that the term shop and save, I don't know how that
shop is. And save is another one. Is another one that's there. But yeah, it is something else and obviously the shopping in St. Louis is much greater than the Carhartt you can get in southeast Missouri at Buckeyes.
Well, with the internet, you can avoid all these taxes and everything. Anything you can buy in St. Louis County.
Exactly, and that's what I'm trying to get to. But for whatever reason, I can buy stuff that I don't try on, and I'm cool with that. I pretty much know where my sizes are. But I think for my wife, there is an experience that is unfolded that starts with a inventory of aimlessly walking and looking as the prey begins to narrow from the endless possibilities of all of the greater metropolitan area of St. Louis. There is a stalking that occurs that narrows the view until she finds her prey and she removes from her wallet the choice instrument of my annihilation and the purchase of that prey.
Senator, have you shared with your wife your credit card story that back when you were a youth and your parents had to cut it out?
I totally did. Well, I totally did. But it's no longer my kitchen table, you know, and it's our kitchen table and everything else. But anyway, I share that to put in context, and I really do. I don't mean to belabor your bill, and I appreciate the discussion that you had over here with me. You've got a series of bills that will authorize a local voting base to authorize a sales tax, as I understand it. And all of these are sales taxes.
Well, the aviation tax is just extending the sunset.
It's a fuel tax, yeah.
The tax sunset. Already exists, it's just where the money goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And part of reasons that people come up is say, why would you care, you live in Cape Girardeau, what we want to do up here? Well, the fact is that I'll pay these taxes too. My wife will definitely pay these taxes, but she won't have an opportunity and I won't have an opportunity to vote on them because this isn't a statewide sales tax.
Right.
It's a local sales tax that then is brought in. And you're absolutely right. We have ultimately the ability to vote with our feet, and you don't have to shop up there if the sales tax get out of whack.
And there are, I don't know, there must be hundreds of local sales taxes. Each little county has a sales tax for its own thing that they've decided to tax to build or do something with.
Right, but these are the ones that need state authorizing language in order for the municipality on the local level to be able to do so.
And I would imagine that it's often been the case, as it was with the Great Rivers Greenway, that they got authorizing legislation and it went through. And in this case, specific to the arch tax, we're not enabling it to go straight to the ballot. It's got to go through city government. It's got to go through county government, St. Charles County government. There's all kinds of opportunity for it to stop in those places, and then ultimately it has to pass. And actually, the way it works is two of the three of them have to vote yes for it to go into effect.
And I appreciate that, and I'm just one of the reasons why somebody that lives in Cape Girardeau would have an interest as to what your neck of the woods would do with this authorizing tax is we spend money up there.
I mean, local communities run the risk of taxing themselves out. You know, like the taxing, like right now, in most of the places in St. Louis County, your total sales tax bill, you know, state's 4.225, but the total sales tax bill is between 7.5% and 8.75%. There are places in the city where the total sales tax bill is up against 10%, and it's a function of all little, very specific, very local, or TIF taxes, or 911 taxes. And, you know, the risk that these local communities run is that they price themselves out of the economy. You know, if this were a 3.5% sales tax, and suddenly the tax went from 8% to 11% or 12% in total, it would have dramatic implications on their local economy and their ability to get you to drive from Cape Girardeau, and it would make it more viable for those businesses to be located in other parts of the state where taxes are lower. The conversation we had before is, you know, I don't believe in government's ability to do a whole heck of a lot. I like the idea of government being funded and doing very, very core things. And in a perfect world, every single government decision that could be pushed locally, meaning from federal to state and from state to local, that's how the process would work. And when those individual local communities say, we have an idea for something that we want to do and we want to ask our residents if it's okay with them, as much as I don't believe the government can do a lot of things well, I think that to the extent that government can get as local as possible, then I'm okay with that.
To give them the opportunity to
give
vote,
them the opportunity
meaning
to really to govern themselves. I mean, I really do think, you know, we as a body haven't made a whole lot of way. This building has not made a lot of headway in terms of, you know, moving from taxing the creation of wealth to the consumption of wealth. I think that's the right direction. I mean, I live in this community where this tax may or may not go on. And you know what? I actually make conscious decisions where I shop and don't shop based upon the cumulative local sales tax. And that's the decision I make. And then the leaders of these communities, and to the extent that the local elected officials of these communities, to the extent that they agree to creating an environment that can be perceived as a higher tax environment, that's the risk that they run. If this very same tax was here to ask us to enable it at the state level and appropriate the money for this, if this was a state tax credit program, if this was a matching fund state program, none of those things would I, you know, stand up and advocate for and support. But in this, I think the ultimate solution
global solution that the federal, state, is to get things pushed down as far as they can to the local level.
Then why wouldn't we introduce a bill that says they wouldn't need state authorizing legislation?
I don't know.
So they wouldn't ever have to come to us.
I don't know. I don't know.
Wouldn't we go that route if that's the ultimate belief that, you know, every local municipality then is given the right to raise, if they wanted to raise a dollar sales tax.
Maybe it was what you had brought in our earlier conversation. Maybe it was to give as many checks as possible, you know, to subject matter. Mm-hmm. Okay? So maybe it's to subject matter. Maybe it is the extent of the increase. You know, you could have a situation, you know, St. Louis City is the political makeup of the city is where one party dominates every aspect of the city, and maybe it would be giving us an opportunity to speak to that very narrow minority and say, you know what, 2% tax is ridiculous, a 3% tax. Maybe it's to allow a tax for some very specific thing that's a very high number. I don't know. I don't know the history of it.
Right. Well, I just want to walk through this briefly because I want to make clear what we're doing here, and that is that you're authorizing the local municipalities, these four areas that you highlighted before, to raise varying degrees their sales tax. And it will go to a vote of those people in that local geographic area.
Right, and the three of them. The aviation fuel tax exists already.
Right. That's sunset. Just so three of them.
So it's Jackson County, it's St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County. Okay, so this idea has to go through each of those. The Board of Aldermen and the two county governments has to be signed off by the mayor, St. Louis County Executive, and St. Charles County Executive. It then goes to a vote of the people, and two of the three of those bodies have to agree to it, or it doesn't happen.
Right. So St. Louis County and St. Louis City agree it happens, regardless of whether St. Charles thought it was a good idea or not.
That's right.
Those two entities of St. Louis City and St. Louis County could foist a tax increase on St. Charles.
No. The tax increase was only in that example, would only be in the city, only be in the county. It wouldn't go on in St. Charles County.
Okay. Still goes forward for those two counties.
It does.
Whereas if only the city of St. Louis passes the tax increase,
then it doesn't go forward.
Not even the city of St. Louis'
right.
tax.
That's
is
right.
Is that because there's enough money generated for St. Louis County and St. Louis City?
No, I think it's a bend towards the political realities. It's to see, you know, the project itself is as much as a $700 million project. The way these monies are split, 60% of the monies would go to the project, 40% of the monies would go directly to the parks in the city, in St. Louis County, St. Charles County.
And that's one of the things that I want to get to, because we've heard a lot about St. Louis County's budget issues, and is it Charles or Charlie? Charles Dooley.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Dooley.
Right.
Mr. Dooley, the exec of St. Louis County, with his own board of aldermen and the budget chair. County council or whatever.
You and I might both agree that county government exists today is inefficient, that it's overfunded, that government itself should be smaller. I think if you felt that way, I probably would concur. But it gets back to, this is a local community. I mean, they're the ones that are deciding. Like, my school district decided to raise my taxes. They made the case. They went to the community. It passed by 5 points. That's where I live.
Right.
You know?
But what I'm trying to get to and to highlight the point is, I think there was a big dispute over whether or not parks had to be closed in St. Louis County to, quote-unquote, balance the budget. I think it was clearly shown after the the county council that went a different way.
Right.
And now what I see is we're rewarding that bad behavior by saying, yeah, we'll give you more money if you authorize it for parks.
Well, my understanding is that this has been long in the works. This split's been long in the works.
What does that mean? Long in the works.
I mean, like, I think that the idea behind doing the arch project is not one that was just...
but not all the money is going to the arch, and we'll get to the arch.
What I'm suggesting is that the idea would be that
the idea of having some portion, in this case 40% of the money, actually go to the park system, that was an idea that was long held. What the county executive chose to do or not do, and what he put forward and then later pulled back with respect to St. Louis County Parks, I think that's just a coincidence. They're not tied together. Again, you know, I get back to if the local community wants to ask this of their voters, you know, like I said in our private conversation, if I didn't agree with the subject matter, if I didn't agree with the absolute total amount, maybe I wouldn't.
Right, and that's kind of where we're getting at, because I think that's where people can agree to disagree.
Yep.
And as I asked you, we could have this whole, hey, do you want to send this to a vote of the people? I think you would agree that you would not be for this bill. You would fight this bill if we were sending to a vote of the people a creation of a mega Planned Parenthood center to perform abortions right there in the center of your Senate district.
Yeah, I mean, I'm predisposed against all tax increases because I think government is less than efficient. And then there are certain, the 911 tax sales tax was a 0.1%. I sat down, went to a hearing and understood what the issue was and actually supported that because it made sense. That was an example of where, and if anything, if I as a taxpayer, if I could dedicate every dollar I spend, you know, I might be willing
right,
to spend the money.
But the only point that I'm making is right now I would be against sending this bill to a vote of the people. You say, how do we stop sending this to the vote of the people? And I said, well, if the underlying purpose was to create a mega abortion provider center in the city of the 24th, would your belief that how do I tell my people they can't vote themselves a tax increase,
would that be an extreme use of these proceeds? You know, if the same exact amount was being asked to build a new hospital or a orphanage, and I'd love to see an orphanage built in St. Louis County,
sure.
St. Louis City. I mean, it's a combination of, okay, what's the subject matter? Okay, you can make a very strong case that that the Arch grounds are an international tourist destination. It's just a fact. We heard a lot on this Senate floor last year about the imbalance of federal government, that every federal dollar that we take that's earmarked to a project or to the state of Missouri is just coming directly or indirectly from the Chinese. So you could see a situation where, you know, you said to me in private, well, this is going to fund, some portion of this is going to go towards renovating a federal park. Why don't we just get federal dollars? You can make a case for you shouldn't take federal dollars for anything until the budget is balanced. You know, this is for me.
We had that opportunity with Medicaid and the operating budget, and we didn't avail ourselves of that.
So, in my opinion, I think it's like, okay, I understand that the subject matter. It's not something that I'm adamantly opposed to. It's not a 3 or 4% increase in sales taxes. They're not asking for any state funding to do this project. They want to run it through their local government and then take it to a vote of their local people. And, you know, how it ends
well,
up, how
in,
it how
in,
ends up.
In the 2 points, the main, well, I guess 3 points that I want to make as we have this dialogue.
Yeah.
Number one, this is why, in my belief, you have to come to the General Assembly to get authorization for this, is people I represent will pay these taxes. And this is the only opportunity in the whole entire process of this that the people that I represent that will pay this tax will have any kind of input in a representative republic to have any kind of input to the outcome.
Okay.
So that's why we do this. Everyone from Cape had a little card and would be exempted from this, then I think maybe the argument of, hey, this is just authorizing local people to tax locally. But it's not just local people to tax locally.
It's a local election to tax everybody. You have the option to self-exempt. Don't stop there.
And then you're left to the point of, then I just won't go there anymore. Believe me, a lot of people are doing that to that region of the state.
That's exactly right.
Every decennial dissensus, people are voting with their feet in fleeing that area. We lost a congressman, for heaven's sakes, this year. It wasn't because people were happy to live in that area.
And I think that local governments have to answer, you know, look themselves in the mirror and say, you know, are we pushing?
Well, but do you think any of them do it? I don't think any of them do it. I think that they are Thelma and Louise holding hands, driving right off the end of the cliff, and they're just sitting back, dreaming about when they used to know Brad Pitt in the early parts of the movie, and can't imagine how their lives turned out the way that it did. And now they're just going over the cliff in the sky blue Ford Mustang.
And I think that what's happening, to the extent that that question's not being answered in that local community, there's lots of reasons why people are choosing to leave. And then, you know,
And is that good? Is that wise? Well, that's kind
of
why
we outstaters get
a voice when the urban areas want authorization to raise these taxes. Mm-hmm. That's the first point. That's why this as an important balance of, you know, not just is this going to be local people taxing themselves locally, because we will be up there far more than you will be in our neck of the woods. I realize
Now, look, I have the same, you know, when I talk to my leaders in my local community and I say, look, you know, you've got to be careful. You're going to tax yourselves out of the state economy. I also have a conversation with them. I say, look, you really, and this is hard for the majority of the people that are in St. Louis City, St. Louis County. I said, look, you need to stop sending money down to Jeff City. You guys are sending all your money to Jeff City, and when it gets there, it gets split up by the entire state. However, that entire state seems to think it should be split up.
Well, a very small portion of St. Louis County in St. Louis City. Not everyone in St. Louis City and St. Louis County pays taxes.
Okay, well, the majority of there's more money leaves than comes back.
I agree.
Right, okay. So,
From a smaller percentage of the people in St. Louis and St. Louis
County. Okay, well, think about this, though. As you might imagine, and you see it, the majority of the political leaders in St. Louis City and St. Louis County, they look at the budget situation they were in, and they say, oh, gosh, you know, raise taxes, raise income taxes, raise sales taxes, tax internet. You know, we need to have more money in government. And my response to them is, no, you need to go the other way. You need to send less money to Jefferson City and then pay for things locally and do what they did in my district. My district gets 2% of their funding from the state of Missouri.
Sure.
So they say, gosh darn it, you know what, we want a good school, we put it to a vote. 55% of the people say, yeah, we'll pay more for our good schools. I don't know how you answer it. How do you go to that group of people and say, look, we're going to keep taking your money and send it to the Capitol, and then we're going to reallocate it, and you're going to get less than you put in, but that's just the way it goes. But if you want to tax yourself, well, you know, we're not going to let you tax yourself, because on occasion when we come into this part of the state, then we'd have to pay that tax too, and we don't want to pay that tax. So, you know, I just don't see the logic of that. I mean, I don't think it's, I think you, you know, I think that it's fine for us to sit here and say no to state income taxes, to say no to state sales taxes, to say no to internet sales taxes, to say no to all those things. But when those communities say, hey, we want to tax ourselves to do this in our community, I respect the fact that, you know, now your situation you're in, that you'd have to go out of your way not to shop here, but I have a hard time not at least letting this legislation go to the local governments and then go to the local people and let them talk, let them speak.
And I appreciate that, but I think what we were talking about is why these entities have to come to the state to get approval. Mm-hmm. The first is because us outstaters won't have an opportunity to vote on this tax, for the vote through the republic democracy that we got at this point. So the 175,000 people, I don't know what the percentage is that will shop in St. Louis or in this tax, but they will not get an opportunity to vote no on this. The only opportunity they have is for me to be their voice to either allow it to go to a vote, ultimately in the Missouri Senate, and then ultimately on the local level.
Right.
But if this makes it all the way through the process and then locally, it's still local individuals raising taxes on more than just local individuals. It's everyone that comes into that. And I agree, people can just bypass that area. But, Senator, as long as you guys have a White House black market, my wife ain't bypassing that area. In fact, she has car trouble At every one of those locations. It's amazing.
White House, Black
Market. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Sorry, I got car trouble. I had to pull over. Really? Where? White House, Black Market. I was like, really? That's an auto mechanic shop? Oh, no, no. You'd be amazed at what a set of pumps and a high heel will do for a car.
It's complicated, though. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into why that shopping destination they're using this example. I mean, why is that destination there? Destination chooses to be there because that part of the state's densely compact. It's densely populated. Why is it densely populated? Because it's close to higher learning centers of learning, local hospitals. I mean, there's a lot of the cost of living from a tax perspective of that part of the state is very, very high. And sure. a lot of the money that gets paid at the state and local level, the state and local taxes, that go to fund the suburban and urban community, that draw you and your wife to it, I mean, those are all things that are being funded internally that get you to get in your car and drive up to the West County Mall. And I appreciate the fact that, yes, in fact, if this goes through this body, through the local government, to the vote of the people, and it gets enacted, that when you choose, you know, to shop in that county or that city or St. Charles County, then, in fact, you are sharing in that tax. But, I just think that you're – and that's fine. So that's fine.
Yeah. You can stand up and that's why we have this hurdle, in my opinion, in state law, because right. – my area won't have an opportunity to vote on this sales tax.
I get it. I understand that perspective.
The second area that I think, depending on what the subject matter is, where we can have agreement on some and disagreement on others, I think we're both in agreement that if this legislation said we're going to fund a super abortion provider on the Arch grounds,
right.
Neither one of us. You wouldn't be handling the bill, and you probably wouldn't voting for the bill.
My reasons for that would not be the process of itself. I would not be for that because it would be the project that I would be against.
Correct.
But you wouldn't even allow
that project to go to a vote of the local people.
But I wouldn't have issue with the process, though. The process itself, and this makes sense to me, the local community wants to ask its voters to support a specific thing. That process wouldn't be the issue. And that example that you gave, it would be the subject matter.
Right.
I'd have issue.
But there are points where you will not hold that process up higher than the subject matter. Meaning, you wouldn't say, hey, process, if my district wants to tax themselves to do a super abortion provider, I'm not going to be the one that stops that. In fact, I'm going to vote and I'm going to support it.
No, my reasons for not supporting that would be the subject matter.
Right. So it is legitimate to oppose the subject matter at some points.
Sure.
That process doesn't always trump subject matter.
Sure.
And I think that's the other reason that these municipalities have to come to the state. The first is we're going to, in outstate, we'll be taxed. Even though we can't vote on it. The second is we have to make sure that this is a good idea. And I haven't really gotten into the Jackson County Greenway, but from what I know about the Arch District, I don't think anyone knows, and I will concede that in our dialogue off the floor, no one really knows how much is going to be spent on the federal lands of this. You know, 40% is going to be spent on local parks. That leaves 60% as part of this overarching Arch project. My concern is that we are now setting the precedent for the first time in the state of Missouri.
Three senators standing. Senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce a couple of very special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, you may not have noticed, but immediately to your right is the former senator of the Fighting 26th, Senator John Griesheimer.
I hadn't noticed.
And while we're introducing the good senator, I would also like to introduce, he's brought a guest with him, I guess maybe to keep an eye on him, although I'm not sure which one of those two could actually keep an eye on the other one. Mark Vincent, our county councilor, is with him. And so he is to my left and your right, and Senator Griesheimer is immediately to your right. I just wanted to make sure, I wasn't sure if you had noticed that.
I hadn't.
But I just wanted to bring that to your attention and ask the body to make these guests.
With the guests of the Senator from Franklin and former Senator John Griesheimer, stand and be recognized. Proceed, Senator.
To continue my inquiry, if I could. Mr. President. I guess that's a yes. Sorry.
So in your concern, you know, we heard testimony from the St. Charles County Executive, you know, Senator Elliman, and he brought the same concerns.
Right.
And so the scope of the project, I said, is $700 to $800 million, and the proceeds, depending on if two or three counties vote for this, the proceeds will be used to fund about $100 million bond issue. That's why it expires in 23 years to match fund it. So it's maybe 1/7 or 1/8 the total project, and the project's not just on federal land. The project goes, it caps.
Have you already been appropriated the federal dollars for this project?
There are almost none. That's
right. So I understand the global federal project, and you say, oh, it's only this small percentage. That's what they always say. They always say this is a gazillion-dollar project, and we only need the state funds for this little amount. But it's only the state funds that ever materialize.
Well, let's redefine that, okay, for me, please.
Okay.
Okay, for purposes of the body. So,
sure.
Not state funds, not GR funds, not the state sales tax. No, you're talking about the county.
Missouri.
No, well, to the extent that Missourians go to St. Louis County, St. Louis City, and they pay towards the sales tax.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I think when you call it state funds, it's far too easy to lump that into GR or a redeemed tax credit.
Let me say it this way, then. We will be authorizing a tax for the first time that I am aware of, and I've done some research on this, that we will be authorizing a tax in the Senate and the House, of which, if the proceeds go all the way through and are adopted on the local level, that then will be utilized on federal lands.
To the extent that some percentage if the total project, if 1/8 of the money comes from this sales tax enacted, and that money's actually, it's all fungible, right? So if you're working on the roads leading up to the project, or you're actually redoing the stairs on the arch grounds, to that extent, it would be happening on federal grant. Now, on federal land. Now, I actually think that there's a way to consider this in terms of almost like state pride, or the fact that, you know, we're not waiting for the federal government to fix this problem. We're not asking the federal government to go greater into debt. We're not. And I think a case could be made that maybe in some ways, and you alluded to this, maybe we should get that federal park should become a state park. Maybe in the course of this debate and discussion and dialogue, it comes the same community leaders say, look, let's do what we need to do to take over complete control of this federal park. You know, like I said, last year we spent a lot of time here, and to a certain extent this year, about denying the use of federal dollars because our federal government's going bankrupt. What are the leaders of this community said? We're not waiting for the federal government anymore. We're going to take it upon ourselves to go forward and try to make this and fund this project.
Right. So I'm trying to understand what's next. If one of us really like our post office, are we supposed to authorize a local tax for our post office, our mail processing center? If we want a new federal courthouse, should we authorize a local sales tax for a new federal courthouse?
I think the reality that we're entering into, the fiscal reality at the federal level, is that you're going to see more and more local communities and maybe states themselves that say, look, we're not going to wait to rebuild federal highways anymore with federal dollars. That we can't, that it's crumbling, it's not working, and we're not going to wait around, and we're going to maybe take this challenge up ourselves.
Okay.
I mean, to me, that's a positive. That's not a negative.
Well, I don't know if it's a positive. I think we've made the case why municipalities have to come to the General Assembly. Even though individuals on the local level authorize this, they're authorizing a tax that even people that can't vote on that ultimately to enact it will still have to pay.
There's 91 municipalities in St. Louis County, and if one of those little municipalities wants to do something that was just extraordinary, it makes sense that they would have to come.
Right.
There'd be some check other than just their local.
And then the second thing that we have of why they come here is because of the subject matter. So we have a process, and then we have a subject matter. And in this particular case, I assume as the handler of the bill that you're okay with all of the subject matters that are in here.
Right, I am.
I have tried to share with you one particular area of a subject matter that I think that we're setting a danger precedent.
Okay.
Not here to delay your bill.
Got it.
In fact, I appreciate your dialogue and the discussions that we have had and ultimately coming to a vote on this bill, but I for one will be voting no on your bill,
right,
because I think it sets a dangerous precedent for having a local tax authorized by the state to begin subsidizing federal lands.
Well, you know, it'd be interesting to see at the end of the day if this actually does get out of here and goes, if this is the first time this has happened around the country, it probably won't be the last. Because, you know, to the extent that the state and our state government, we should be very proud. It's funny, I was, the Great Riverway.
What I don't understand is how can this pass, but all of this community doesn't want to pass a sales tax for Airtropolis? But they want to pass a sales tax for Arts Ground District.
Well,
parks.
I think what that does is that speaks to the amount of support that this project has in the minds of our community leaders, that they're not asking for anybody else's money other than the extent that when they come into our communities and pay a slight additional sales tax, you know, the philanthropic, I mean, the money that's going to be donated towards this project, it's a very similar money in terms of size relative to what the sales tax will raise. I mean, this is a lot of people are coming together to make this happen financially. And again, they're not here to ask for, you know, state sales tax exemptions, state sales tax credits, income tax credit, nothing. They're saying, look, let us take this up with our community, and if they're willing to support it, then we'll do it.
Okay. And the only other thing, no changes substantively to the aviation fuel deal other than just an extension of the
same year. 10 more years.
Okay.
And in the fiscal note, you'll see the caps.
And the Jackson County Greenway is identical to the St. Louis County Greenway?
Yes, it's St. Louis County Greenway is today.
And whatever this library district down in the middle of nowhere.
I think the library is where the whole thing started.
Okay. And that's it. That's all that the Senate committee has put on the underlying House bill.
Exactly.
Okay. And the underlying House bill was this library district tax.
Correct.
Authorization that...
And I think there might have been other things on it that came off in the Senate committee substitutes. We ended up with this thing. I'm not for sure, but...
Okay. All right. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator, very much. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Can I inquire the senator from the 7th?
Senator from the 7th is not on the floor.
Or not the 7th, I'm sorry, the... What are you, Will? Eighth. Sorry.
We do not refer to senators by their name.
I'm sorry.
Senator from the 8th.
Do you yield
to an inquiry? He does. Proceed.
Senator, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to listen to my inquiry on 1504, but I saw that you dropped an amendment, and I just wanted to know what this was.
This amendment basically puts it in front of the vote of the people to renew it every 6 years. For the Jackson County portion of this bill.
Of the Greenway.
Of the Greenway.
Okay.
What happened a few years ago is we passed a zoo tax through both bodies, and we have implemented that in Jackson County. And what I came to understand is there is no checks on that. That's their money forever and a day. And there's
their conservation commission.
Right. The zoo could be the best zoo in the entire country, or it could be the worst. And we couldn't change it unless you had to go back to the voters and actually get something approved to go back to the ballot box. So what I think this is a good check to balance.
Is this the zoo tax?
No, this is not.
This
no, this
the
is
Greenway.
The Greenway. I'm
oh,
just
Greenway.
Talking about the zoo
so you're
tax.
Not touching the zoo
no.
and putting a sunset on that. You're just, if no. there's a new tax, so everyone knows on the Greenway.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
If I could inquire the senator from the 20th.
Senator from the 20th.
From Christian.
Senator from Christian. Do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. I've been talking on 1504, and I saw that you dropped an amendment, and it didn't get on in committee or something, so I just wanted, if you had a couple of minutes, to explain to us
sure.
what your amendment does.
Sure. What it does is there most sales taxes or taxes that communities or can charge, probably 75% of them are limited to what the state can do in penalties. There are a few use taxes that are not, and I have one example of being charged, an organization or a company being charged 15 times what the tax was as a penalty. And what I'm trying to do is just put those into state statute to mimic what the state does.
the no municipality could give a higher penalty than what the state authorizes as
exactly.
a penalty.
And Fair. Most of them do already, but there are a few use taxes and that don't.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for the explanation, Senator. Thank you very much. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
If I could inquire the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th. Do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. I've been talking on 1504 and trying to figure out what's out there. I saw that you dropped an amendment. We talked about what's in the underlying bill. I didn't know if you had a couple of minutes to share with us what your amendment would do.
I do. My amendment has to do with people who are currently, or organizations rather, who are currently exempt from paying the transient guest tax in Kansas City. The way ours is written, a nonprofit organization, say the American Red Cross, the American Cancer Society, something along that lines, could come in and have their convention in Kansas City, and they would be able to be exempt from our transient sales tax because of the way our sales tax is written right now. And so I think they should be able to get their typical exemption, but they should not be exempt from our transient guest tax.
Would be the federal
yes.
sales, because you have that little letter, and you can get federal, but I guess there's really whatever federal taxes you'd pay on a sales tax, but then they get their full state exemption as a not-for-profit as well.
It's my understanding.
But
yes.
this is just to say on that area of your guest transient that a not-for-profit would not be able to utilize its not-for-profit status to receive local municipality exemption.
On the transient sales
on the
tax
transient
only, and it this is only the enabling legislation, it would still have to be voted on by the people of Kansas City.
Okay, so then a vote of the people would determine whether or not they wanted to make it so not-for-profits would have to pay the transient.
That is correct.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
If I could inquire the senator from the 32nd. Jasper.
Senator from
Newton. Sorry.
Senator from Newton, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. I've been kind of inquiring on 1504, and I noticed that you dropped an amendment, and I didn't know if you had a couple of minutes to share with us what your amendment was seeking to do.
Yes. Instead of adding some taxes, what we're trying to do is that Missouri companies that give them the ability to file a refund for sales tax claim with revenue without relying on the out-of-state vendor. What's happening is some companies in Missouri will buy, for example, software electronically, Microsoft or something, and in order to apply for that sales tax refund, which is in statute currently, you have to go to Microsoft, they'd have to apply, you have to go back and go to Microsoft. What this does, it allows for in-state purchasers to seek a refund directly paid on purchases. That's kind of the short of it.
Okay. This doesn't mandate that any one business entity buy a certain software or hardware for the collection
of
sales
anyone
taxes.
That buys any software electronically from whoever. I just use Microsoft as an example.
Okay. And sometimes these entities would be able to get it on the back end instead of directly. Am I following that? I guess I'm not following.
That's the way I understand it. You could.
Okay.
What's happening, the vendor that sells the electronic software sometimes doesn't.
And these are like you get online and you do the downloads. You don't
right.
go into Best Buy and actually
right.
buy
it's all,
any.
It's all electronically. Software from out of state generally, and when our companies buy this electronic software, the vendors doesn't really, in a timely effort, help our companies resolve that tax refund because they really don't care. So it lets our companies in Missouri that are buying over apply directly with the Department of Revenue without going through the vendor and then have the vendor apply for the refund with revenue.
Did you file a bill on this, or was this something after?
This was after the fact. However, it was a bill that was heard in fiscal or tax policy, It was on tax amnesty, so it didn't move forward.
I understand. And so that provision was there, but as an actual bill, you nor any other senator filed this exact language anywhere.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Senator. I appreciate the inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
Can I inquire of... I think that's it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise?
Can I inquire the Senator from Cape Girardeau?
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
You don't have the amendment yet, but I thought I would just...
Sure.
It's getting copied and distributed. I have an amendment to allow the city of Peavey to have a transient guest tax on voter approval.
Like the hotel motel
hotel,
transient
motel. Yep.
Tax? Big.
But I thought I'd save you time from when it...
I appreciate it.
Just take care of that. And then if you're, as you know, that will be a tax on people not living in Peavey.
I go to Peavey a lot.
Well, if you're there, you can stay at my house.
Okay, I appreciate it. As you know, Senator, we visit the Steak and Shake out there very often.
Right, and the White Castle.
Yeah, and White Castle, right. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I would request a waiver of its reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for adoption of this amendment to explain it to the body. This is the amendment that I just discussed with the senator from Cape. Right now, organizations that have a tax-exempt status have obviously the ability to be exempt from sales taxes in the city of Kansas City, but because the way our tax code is written, we also exempt them from our convention and tourism tax. We would like to... the Convention and Tourism Bureau has asked that we fix that by doing some enabling legislation down here and then having the people of Kansas City vote on that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
The senator from the 10th moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard of that motion? Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do now.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, did you say Kansas City is supposed to vote on something?
That's my understanding, yes. It would have to go to a vote of the people.
I'm looking for it.
It's fine, Senator. And I know that someone has come and spoken to you about this briefly. This was the issue that the Kansas City Tourism and Convention Center or Bureau was interested in. And right now, nonprofit organizations have tax-exempt status when it comes to our tourism tax. And this would allow the people of Kansas City to vote about whether or not they would continue to receive that exemption just as it relates to the tourism tax.
Oh, okay. I'm just looking for the... For the amendment, maybe.
Sure. It ends in 01S, but a lot of other folks do as well. It's
okay. I got you.
No, it's been out. It was one. I think it may have been one of the first ones dropped, so it may be buried under a lot of stuff.
It's not just Jackson County; it's Kansas City.
That is my understanding. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 10th moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise?
Are you going to lay it over? Why don't we wait like 2 minutes?
Senator
President,
from the 22nd,
I have
what
an amendment
that's
been
rise?
Distributed. I ask that the reading be waived.
Send the amendment forward. Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Thank you. Can I talk about my amendment?
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you. Thank you. As I told the senator from Cape Girardeau, this is enabling legislation for the city of Peavey to put to the voters a transient guest tax, which is a hotel-motel tax, and I would move its adoption.
Senator, has that amendment been distributed?
It has been distributed.
Senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion?
I could talk for a second while we wait for the bill to be...
Senator, it has been distributed. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, you are recognized.
I close.
Senator from the 22nd moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 2. Senator from Newton, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. I spoke briefly about it to the senator from Cape.
Senator, send the amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I move for its adoption. Ask for the waiver of the reading.
See no objection. Proceed.
This amendment, as per a discussion a few minutes ago, gives Missouri companies the ability to file a sales tax refund claim with revenue directly without relying on an out-of-state vendor. It also allows Missouri companies to obtain an assignment of rights from the out-of-state vendor to make the claim directly from revenue. The language was passed in House Bill 1030 and was heard in Ways and Means. Also, the allows a state purchaser of computer software that was electronic delivered to seek a refund that was paid on purchases as per discussion a few minutes ago.
The senator from Newton moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you rise? Senator, could you say that again, please, Senator from the 4th?
To inquire with the senator from Newton.
Senator from Newton, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. This is an area that I am not very familiar with, so could you kind of walk me through this? I was reading the first paragraph. Who originally paid sales tax to a vendor or seller may submit a refund. Is that he's paying sales tax in another state? Is that what he's doing?
Yes. If you buy software, a major company buys software out of state, pay the sales tax on it, and you're asked for a refund, which is already in statute, you have to go to the vendor out of state, get them to apply for your sales tax refund, and apply, get it through the vendor. This allows the Missouri company to go direct.
And the out-of-state vendor is collecting Missouri sales tax, so we're just taking him out of the loop?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Newton moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 3. Senator from Christian, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an amendment. It has been...
There is no speaker in the Senate.
Sorry, Mr. President. Old habits get hard to break. Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. It has been distributed. I move for its adoption.
Send the amendment forward. Would you ask for a waiver of the reading? Senator?
I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
I think I did say that already.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Mr. President, as I said earlier, there are some use taxes and sales taxes in some of our communities that are not, they have no limit. And I have at least one example where it was 15 times what the tax was, what the penalty was, and I'm just trying to streamline things. Companies that have that work in various counties, different counties across the state, have no idea what they're supposed to pay in different places. This would just streamline and make everything the same, and it brings it all back to what the state charges on sales tax. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Senator Mizzi Dobson, Senate Amendment Number 4. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Christian moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 4. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 4. Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
Move for its adoption and ask waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain that amendment?
This is an amendment I explained to the senator from Cape. What it does is it puts a six-year automatic go back to the vote of the people on the Jackson County Parks, Trails, whatever they call that, part of the bill.
The senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you rise?
Senator from the 8th.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
the common sense nature of your amendment, and but what that brief period of time would not allow for the district to bond against the tax revenue, which is what they'll need to do. For example, they're going to build a bike trail or something. They needed $1 million or $2 million. They need a bond. So I'm having drafted an amendment to your amendment that would create the same sunset mechanism that you're speaking of, but it would be every 23 years. That you, I know you look at that. That's the typical length of a municipal bond offering. So when they bond the district, if they choose to bond the district and use the cash, the cash flow from the sales tax to fund it, that it would have a sunset. So.
Senator, we're not building a huge building here. These are trails. I mean, I understand that maybe it right. should be longer than six, but 23 years, there are people that could have moved in and moved out in 23 years. I mean, I think that's a little bit long to be moving in.
Okay, that's fine. That's what it would take. That's what it takes to use the proceeds to bond. So if you want to offer an amendment to the amendment to the amendment, that's somewhere between. I know that 23 years would cover the cash flow. 6 years, I think maybe that's an arbitrary number. Is there a thought behind
I believe it's about a length of time that, as a taxpayer and a voter in the area, I'd like to see if they're doing what they said they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I approve of the way they're spending the tax dollars that we're approving. And so at some point, you got to say, okay, what's short enough that lets me see the progress they're making and agree that progress is what direction I would like them to move in, or if I disagree with the direction that they're heading?
Mr. President, I have an amendment to the amendment.
Senator from the 24th.
And as I mentioned before, I'll explain, it's very simple.
Send the amendment forward.
It's short and can be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment to the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, 2, Senate Amendment 5, offered by Senator Lamping, to amend Senate Amendment 5 to Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1504, page 1, line 5, by striking the word, quote, 6, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, 23, close quote.
Senator, would you care to explain the amendment?
As I mentioned before, I know that with... Sir, yes, Mr. President, I'd like to explain that.
Speak on the amendment. Proceed to speak on the amendment. The inquiry is over. Go ahead and speak on the amendment.
Okay, well, essentially, I appreciate the common sense nature of the senator from the ACE idea, but what I do know is that in St. Louis with this sales tax and with whatever entity that would impose this, that they'd want the ability to bond against the revenue, and by going to a 23-year sunset, that would ensure the fact that they could actually bond to the greatest extent.
The senator from the 24th moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 5. Does any senator desire to bear that motion? Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you rise?
Speak on the amendment to the amendment.
Proceed.
Mr. President, 23 years is a long period of time. They can still bond in a shorter period of time. I would ask the body to defeat the amendment to the amendment and come back with a much more reasonable number, like 10 or 12 years. We can still bond if you have a source of revenue for 10 or 12 years. 23 years, they're, like I said in the inquiry, people move in and out of the district so much that's really unreasonable. So I'd encourage the body to defeat the amendment to the amendment.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
On behalf of the amendment to the amendment.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I agree with the senator from 8th that there should be a sunset, but the underlying bill dealt with a greenway system for St. Louis, which had 23 years. He's right, there should be a sunset, but there's no legal, rational, or financial basis for 6 years. Unlike the drug tax in Jackson County, which involves law enforcement and no capital improvements require bonds. If you have to go to voters every 5 years or 6 years or 7.2 years or 4 5/8 years, that might make political sense for us philosopher kings in Jefferson City to decree to the voters of Jackson County what they may do with no basis for 6 years. If we don't adopt the Senate from 23rd, 23 years is in TIF and it's in bonds. It's a well-held standard. There should be a sunset, he's right, but 6 years, there's no legal, political, or financial reason to have that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
I would encourage the body to vote against the substitute amendment, and whether or not they adopt the senator from the 8th Amendment or not, or with some sort of modification, that's another topic. However, I will say that once a tax is in place, let's face it, there is no such thing as a temporary tax. There is no way that the tax ends up going away, and then what they'll do is they'll just bond for another district, and they'll keep moving the mark down the line a little bit further. So there'll be another bond and another bond and another bond. And just recently I talked with even the Kansas City Zoo to try to place some sort of fiscal sanity with regard to the Kansas City Zoo. I supported it. However, and I talked to our current leader of the Kansas City Zoo that indicated that he wanted more of a pay-as-you-go type of system, and wrote some language that said that no more than 25% of their annual revenues would ever be used to pay a bond, so they didn't get way out of whack with regard to debt. Well, as it turns out, that's really not what the rest of the people want. They do intend to go head over heels in debt, apparently. They don't want anything. They just wanted the legislation. They wanted our okay. They believe that we gave them a blank check. Very well. Maybe we did. But I do just want to say that I cannot support the senator from the 24th Amendment, because I know once you give them the permission, you never get it back. Let's face it. I mean, this is a forever tax that we're voting for unless we put something more reasonable on it. So thank you, Mr. President. I encourage the body to vote against the amendment.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator from the 24th, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from the 24th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 5. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 5. Further discussion. We are on Senate Amendment Number 5 as amended. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from the 8th, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 8th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5 as amended. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 5. Senator from Mercer, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Rule 91, I'm requesting to be excused from voting on the motion of the Senate Committee substitute and the third read motion.
That will be so noted. Further discussion. Further discussion. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. It's been distributed. I'd ask for a waiver.
Send the amendment forward, saying no objection. The reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain the amendment?
For the adoption of the amendment basically adds Buchanan County to the list of counties that would be allowed to create a theater, cultural arts, and entertainment. Glad to answer any questions.
The senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 6. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Twitter to inquire the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
I obviously haven't had a chance to really digest your amendment. So you're just creating a district. You're not creating a borrowing authority, a taxing authority. I mean, what is it? Are you? Is it just to create the district itself?
Right.
With the authority to later go on to
well,
tax?
Well, in the statute, there are a whole list of counties that are allowed to create this district, and I believe that that allows the entity to put before the voters a tax if they should want, and this just adds Buchanan County to that list.
Okay. Okay, very good.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Buchanan moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 6. Further discussion. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator from the 24th, you're recognized to close.
Yes, Mr. President, I close.
The senator from the 24th moves the adoption of Senate Committee substitute. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee substitute. Senator from the 24th.
Mr. President, I now move that House Bill 1504 as amended, with Senate Committee substitute as amended, be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from the 24th moves that House Bill 1504 be read a third time in place upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 1504, an act relating to sales taxes with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Cape. Senator from Stoddard. By your vote of 20 aye, 8 no, the bill having received a constitution majority is declared passed. Senator from the 24th.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the emergency clause.
Senator from the 24th moves adoption of the emergency clause. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
By your vote of 18 aye, 10 no, the emergency clause not reaching a two-thirds majority is defeated. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. The junior senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will give the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Please send the report forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 835, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Announcement. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee on the judiciary will meet right now in the lounge.
Further announcements. Further announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned under the rules.